Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Hey, Collider Live fans, Cody here, and by now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame to a critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first-ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, The Series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked-about streaming services of 2019, so don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all of this great content today.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the YouTube. We're popping on the microphone already. I'm Roxy Stryer here, across from the most evil on the planet, Serena.
Buenos dias, Roxy. Come with us.
I stopped calling you perfect. Are we okay with that?
Because I'm not. Because nobody is. Nobody is.
With that shirt
maybe,
on, pretty close.
Well, maybe Michael Keaton is perfect, but not me.
I think
how is everyone doing? So happy to be here. We have a room full of wonderful people.
It's kind of all happened very quickly. I'm excited about it. Mark Riley, of course, in the house.
Happy to be here, Roxy.
You just didn't want to be introduced next. You pointed over to Mike Kalinowski, first time on the show.
Hey, everybody. Hey. What's up?
I can't believe you haven't been on before.
I'm a Collider Live virgin.
Wow, we're
popping to pop the sherry.
You have officially been deflowered,
see,
my friend.
Was I not supposed to go there? Was I not supposed to say something?
No, you are. It's just not the first time you've been talked about on Collider Live, and we'll definitely get to that in a little. You are infamous here for one very specific
infamous
reason.
Infamous or infamous?
Infamous.
And you get that? Infamous.
You know what I was talking about.
Sure. Also, Mark Ellis, first time on 2.0.
Thank you.
He's a dog stepfather himself, yo.
Yeah, I'm deep behind enemy lines right now, guys.
It's like we had to push you in the back. I had to introduce you last.
I had to hide. Yeah. No, I am very happy to be here. I'm so excited to see y'all's success. How's the show been?
Kind of wild.
You'll enjoy it?
It's crazy. Really well. Yeah? It's I don't know. You tell me. What haven't you seen us? You didn't used to watch it before. Are you watching this one now?
I don't really know. No, unless you guys suddenly pivot to talking about all the latest in the NFL and the NBA.
No, we can.
No, I get it. But it feels special. I don't watch any of my friends' podcasts except your special.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for all the support.
I checked that out again. I was there for the actual live show. So was Darina. We were talking about that yesterday. But I can't tell which one I like better, watching it back or being there in the room. No, seriously, because I really experienced it differently.
Like, I know which one I like better. Just like watching it and having all the pressure off. It really is weird because that night when we taped it, there were so many just curveballs thrown and technical difficulties and just issues with the venue and things that you just cannot anticipate. And to have a team like who came together in my crew that night, and Thad Williams as the director, being able to work whatever magic they were able to do to get all the noise from the other rooms out of there and to really capture the essence of what I wanted, which was the great crowds that showed up to see me and a cool-looking environment and me telling those jokes. And it just it all came together in a way that just blew my mind at how well he was able to do it. So I was the least important part of the mission.
Oh, shush.
That's not true. You were the best part. But last time when you were on, you were talking a little bit about how you were going to release this and trying to figure out what the best way was to make sure that everybody could see it. Can you talk a little bit about how you actually made that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of meetings, and I had a few different companies say, well, we should do like a paywall, like where it's, you know, $3.99 or $5.99 to watch it. And as a credit to the fans that we all have, they would have paid it. Like, they would have showed up and they would have paid to watch it. But I figure we I sell tickets when I travel. We, you know, a lot of my fans are fans of Schmodown and they support Patreons and stuff like that. And I just figured, like, let's just get this thing out there and let's just let everybody enjoy it for free. And when All Things Comedy came into the picture, which is Bill Burr's company. So having Bill Burr as an executive producer on the special and my good buddy Al Madrigal is also a great comic, be executive producers of it, and them just championing what I was doing with the special just meant the world to me. And so having like the coolest company in comedy right now backing you and saying, yeah, we want to release your special, it's like that's the only direction to go from there.
But that's proof of your talent and the amazing human that you are, Mark Ellis. Yeah. And like, you're going to get all shy right now, but you are, because we all love you so much. And I remember the first time I saw you, I think it was Star Wars Celebration in Florida. We did. You did stand up, and I saw you there for the first time.
In Orlando, right?
Yes, exactly.
With Josh Wolf, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was there with Nathan Hamill, Jeremy Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you. Yeah. The first timer.
It's the first time.
Watching
I
it
loved,
happen.
Your face lit up. It
also,
was beautiful.
Darina, you have quite a strange point.
What?
When you're pointing at Mark?
Yeah.
Your finger does something weird.
Yeah, I think it's from playing the
yours
cello.
Did too.
Yeah, mine always
is. It's from playing the cello. My feet. My fingers are crooked. So
witchy woman stuff going on over there.
Denzel Washington, I think, has like an old football injury or something in one of his hands. I remember like me and my buddies, I think this was in college, watching some random award show, and somebody introduced Denzel to like win an award, and Denzel's walking on stage and he puts his hand out to shake and his pinky's like straight down. And we all, like 10 of us in the room, like, whoa!
Probably his whole life it's been like that.
Yeah, just like
going back to Bill Burr for a second, though, Mark, does that happen because you know him from comedy, or how did you get in touch with him about becoming
we've
an
known
executive
it, we've
producer?
Known each other for a long time. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan like everybody else is of him. And you know, we obviously, when you are a stand-up in L.A., you run in the same circle sometimes. And so Bill and I are aware of each other, and we've known each other for a long time. Like him, he knows I'm a Redskins fan, and I know he's a Patriots fan.
Thank
so
you
it's
very
usually
much.
Where the conversation goes. And I was lucky enough to do a spot on his upcoming project on Comedy Central.
Oh, cool.
And so we chatted a little bit there, and then I had just gotten back from shooting the special in Chicago. And so then I started talking with the company about possible distribution, and just, you know, we just kind of kept taking meetings and hammering everything out, but it was a very smooth process. Once I settled on all things comedy, it was just, it made all the sense in the world because they have so much cachet in the business right now and they can distribute it everywhere. So it's on YouTube right now for free, but you can go see it on Amazon soon, Amazon Prime, Google Play, iTunes, all these different places that it's going to be available. In audio, it's going to be on Sirius XM channels and Spotify and all this stuff. So
damn,
just
that's so cool.
Getting all those old jokes out to the world.
But that's amazing, the thing. Dude. I mean, from when I saw you years ago in Orlando for the first time and then seeing you with Roxy there. Thank you, Cody. And seeing how much, I mean, you've gotten so much. You were so good the first time I saw you and you've gotten so much better. So how do you feel from like back in the day, like starting out like a few years ago and now actually having your first stand-up special? Like, is it surreal? Like, do you feel like it's the same old shit? Like, what
just getting
like,
started, you know?
Really how you feel?
15 years in, and I'm so excited for like all the new stuff that I get to do now, because like I was in DC this past week and you just kind of say goodbye for the last time to some of those jokes, because I was doing mostly new stuff. But then the story that I closed the special with, I closed with in DC, because it's the last time I get to tell that story without everybody knowing what the ending is.
Yeah.
And my mom was actually in the crowd of one of those shows, so if you've seen it, you know it's a funny situation. And so now I'm just like pumped because I'm working in town at the Comedy Store this weekend, and it's just like it's like I sent all my kids off to college and I never have to worry about them again, and now I have this whole new crop of youngsters to raise.
I would think it would feel opposite of that. Not to stress you out, but isn't it like, okay, all my best material is now out there and now I have to figure out what the fuck I'm talking
about?
See,
I won't feel like that until I'm on stage.
Okay.
About 9 minutes in, I'm like, God, that Harry Potter bit went a lot faster than I thought it would. I got 6 minutes. Hey, where are you from? Oh, God, where's the light?
Wait, is that what happens after a special, though? You're not allowed to use any of that anymore?
I mean, you can. There's no real rules, but I want to work on my next special. You know, I'm working on the next hour. So I think I'm about a half hour in to the next one.
Are you being serious right now?
And this is all from just literally working every weekend and either traveling and then you just working out your material. And you are like, how long has it taken you, like months, to come up with the new material?
This 30 has come pretty quick because there were a couple inklings I had before I taped in Chicago of new stuff I wanted to do. And then just getting all the opportunities to travel more and headline more this past year, it leads to new stuff. So I'm excited. I have some ideas as to other jokes that I can do, but it just comes down to every day just trying to craft something and just being that open channel of just trying to like look around, observe life, look inward, and see what's funny there that I haven't already talked about.
What's the reception been like? I saw in the YouTube comments that people were. I didn't see one negative thing in there. But are you getting a ton of tweets? Is there a lot of support?
Everybody's been so supportive. You all have been great. Yeah, everybody's been so supportive. So I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, I'm just waiting for I'm just waiting to be canceled the next day.
I don't think it's going to drop.
I just think I think everybody's been so cool about it, and the support means the world to me. And just having people come up, and like I was talking with Mike before we went to air, and he quoted one of the bits, and I'm like, that guy's got like 9 belts. The hell's he doing?
This Mike? Mm-hmm.
Watching my joke.
Yeah, he was watching at work yesterday, and he did he did the flying and flossing bit. I was dying. I was sitting up at work in the break area, and you know, it's guests in the park are having their lunch and whatever, and I'm sitting there looking at my phone just watching. I'm like, I was like, and everyone's just like, what is wrong with this guy? And I'm just like, flying flossing, it's Bowler.
Am I right?
Good joke. No, okay, go watch it. Watch it.
Have you seen him before? Yeah. Have you seen him live before?
Yes. Here in L.A. We did, gosh, where was it? It was at that place in Silver Lake or Echo
in,
Park.
Los like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like on the low, like, square, like, cushion things we were all sitting on.
Yeah, we were just kind of like one big hippie commune.
Yeah,
that.
It was great.
Now, it was a fun game.
Now, Mark, I have a personal question, and you can answer it or not, but how much time do you spend practicing jokes on your friends?
Not much. I don't run a lot of stuff on my friends. Okay. There's funny stuff that'll come out in conversation. Like, one time I remember I was on the porch of the Comedy Store, and Ken and somebody else, it might have been Makuga, it might have been somebody else, were having a conversation that I walked in late on. And they were talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 because it had just come out.
Yeah.
But I missed that part. So I came in, and they were talking about how to best dispose of a body. They're like, no, what you do is you got to take him out to the desert. You strap him on the back of a horse and you take him out to the desert and you'll find shovels out there if you look long enough. And I'm like, what are we doing later on tonight? Like, it just random things happen in life like that. But I can't stand running a bit.
Yeah. I figured because you've never done it to me. But no. I don't know if I just get special treatment.
So. That's kind of why I didn't know if he was going to be good or not. I mean, when I first started seeing you, it must have been 6 years ago, and the first time I went to your show, I was like, uh-oh. Like, I'm nervous because you're not the
guy. This guy's never made me laugh once.
No, it's not that. You had, but you're not the guy who's constantly, like, saying bit after bit after bit. So I was like, is he going to be funny? I don't know. I think he's, like, a funny guy, but I don't know on stage how he's going to be. And then I was so excited. I've gone to, like, 50 of your shows since then, which obviously shows that I actually like you. I wouldn't do that otherwise.
He's like
same.
That's good. He's like the guy that brags that he's, you know, those guys that brag that they're good in bed. And then, you know, if you get with them and they're not good. But he doesn't brag, so he's
good. Yeah.
Do you get that analogy, ladies? No, no one got
that. Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Totally. Every single guy that's like, oh yeah, I'm going to bed. I'm like,
yeah. He just talked about his comedy. He goes, see, but you're like hysterical. Yeah.
That's good for the business card. Mark Ellis, a good lay on stage.
Well, yeah, it goes to the writing kind of thing of a show, don't tell. You know,
yeah, it's like, exactly.
I'm still kind of stuck on this. So if somebody says they're good in bed, no,
oh my God, Roxy, here we go.
What?
Here we go.
It's a Moxie kind of day.
It is.
That's our ship.
You know what it is?
Sit with the guys like, hey, let's get together, you and me. Let's get. I'll destroy it. I'll take it apart.
Like, there's no way.
You will. Yeah, let's do it. Let's
do it.
And then,
honest,
you go with them and you're like, afterwards, you're like,
this guy also drives a Porsche, doesn't he?
That's never happened to you where somebody, where some guy is like, oh, I'm really good in bed. And then you guys sleep together and you're like,
thank you.
The hell? No, really?
That's never happened to me.
But somebody's told you I'm good in bed and then they are?
I guess no. I guess nobody's ever said to me that they were really good in – like, I don't think I've ever slept with somebody who's like, you know what, I'm really good in bed.
I've never told anyone I'm good in bed. I've done the pre-apology in advance. Like, hey, look, I don't know what we're getting into. It's going to be quick. It's going to be painless. We can go to get a nice tea the next morning.
You're just very upfront about it. That's why you're such a good friend. You're just very honest.
What you get is what you see.
It's smart. You got to set the bar really low. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've never done this before, and I still wet the bed.
Yeah.
But then as long as you don't wet the bed, they're like, oh, better than promised. Like, he delivered.
How was your day last night? He didn't shit the bed.
That's his cup. Yeah. Now you're there.
Well, I feel like I was there before. I've just never experienced what you were talking about.
But that's because that means that you've only had good sex because they weren't. Actually saying they were going to be good in bed. Like, nobody does that.
They were serviceable.
I always hear these stories about Roxy, and I read the comments, and I watch the videos, and you're like, this and this, Roxy, this. So I'm coming into with this kind of bits and this kind of material, and now you're like, I don't have sex, and I don't know boys.
Come on. Yeah.
This doesn't happen to
Come
me.
On, Roxy.
This is the Roxy that I'm seeing on
I've
screen.
I've never seen a penis.
I am a virgin, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You're that born-again virgin?
What are you doing with your hands?
That's Jonathan Expand, Briggs. Expand. Keep going. Expand. I want you to expand in this. Come on.
Are you like Roz and you're saying pivot?
Pivot.
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 I like watching Mark like ping pong between us right now.
I'm just,
like,
I'm fascinated. This is,
it's like coming to a zoo, right?
Yeah. I feel a little like a spy.
What kind of zoo?
You know? Like, I'll go back to SBN tomorrow and just report, like, man, they talk a lot about Roxy's sex life now.
We do talk a lot about my sex life. It's non-existent, and that's what we talk about. We talk about how I'm not having sex, so way to rub it in.
That's just up until this past whatever time.
Year. This past year.
I don't –
It'll get better. It'll get better, I'm sure.
I would steer the opposite way. I would say enjoy your alone time. I would say enjoy being single.
Yeah.
Enjoy being away from the pressure of going on dates and waking up next to somebody and going to bed with somebody and checking in with somebody. It is great just floating in this world, in this ether of being by yourself and setting your own schedule. It's fantastic.
We always
really
do.
Is.
Every time I sit next to Mark Ellis during a screening or anything, you give me a pep talk beforehand that gets me through to the next time that we see each other.
I will quote the great Garth Algar from Wayne's World 2.
All right.
I can go to a movie on a school night like that.
You know who else isn't just having sex, guys? The Joker. Let's talk about him.
Boom. I love that segue.
I love you all very much. Thank you,
Mark,
guys,
for
all the support.
Us.
Thank you, everybody at Collider Live. Mark Riley.
My friend.
Let's all do this again
one
soon.
One more time. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find the special.
You right here on YouTube. You can go YouTube Dog Stepfather. Check it out. Say something nice about me. And maybe one day you'll have me apologizing to you for the sexual experience you're about to have.
That sounds lovely.
Ringing endorsement.
Thank you, Mark. We love you.
Report well. Spy well for us. Thank you very much.
Let's have a Coors Light soon.
Hell yeah, on that.
Needs to be ice cold in the freezer.
All right. We got our DC expert in the studio today, and it just so happened we weren't going to be talking about DC stuff, and then more DC stuff broke again today.
That's how that happens, Rox.
Did you do
huge.
It?
Huge.
You got that right.
It's huge?
It's huge news.
Huge
news.
Biggest news we ever had.
No, no. I mean, this thing has been updating, so it's been getting – I mean, it was big, and then it got even bigger.
Honestly
– wait, what are we talking about now?
Because what the fuck is going on with it? What are we talking about?
We're still talking Joker,
are we back
guys.
On your sex life? No.
This is not a penis talk anymore. Right, we've moved past the penis. You got to get past the penis.
Fine.
Moving past the penis.
Fine. Okay.
No more blue dildos on the table, guys. Let's talk a little. You don't get it because you're not watching Watchmen
yet. I know what it is. I saw it.
Let's talk Joker. So, yes, this is updating every minute. Mark, what is the current update on if there is or is not a Joker sequel coming to us?
Well, let me go to the beginning here with THR dropping this morning that a sequel for Todd Phillips' film with Joaquin Phoenix is happening, as well as Todd Phillips doing a pitch of getting an origin story or a bunch of origin stories that he can develop for other DC characters. And that was big news. Like, oh, he's going to do a Joker sequel and we're going to maybe get like Joker-like movies with different DC characters, origin stories that he's going to run.
Oh.
Deadline comes out and says not so fast. Deadline literally came out and said, one, it is flat false of the earlier stories of a portfolio of DC character origin stories. So they debunked that immediately.
They use the term flat false.
Yes, is as flat false as earlier stories that even Martin Scorsese contemplated directing. So they're also saying that that didn't really happen. So it's
do they have a source as opposed to the THR just saying sources saying?
Yeah. Well, no, everybody's saying sources. So they have multiple sources. Does that make it better? Because like one source, sure. Multiple sources kind of confirming.
But none of them are specified.
None of them are specified. Okay. So what they basically say is that, yes, while it's probably an eventuality that this will happen, that a sequel will happen because it's over $1 billion, no talks have really started. So
so there's two things on the table. Mm. There's Joker 2.
Yeah.
And then there is Todd Phillips working on other origin stories.
Which Deadline is saying nope.
For villains specifically, right? Or anybody.
This just says DC character origin stories.
And so that's what THR is saying, that those things are happening?
THR is saying sequel is happening as well as DC origin stories. Deadline is saying not so fast on the sequel and no DC origin stories.
And who else has chimed in on the conversation?
Variety. So Deadline, THR, Variety is basically saying, yes, there's talk of a sequel. Nothing. It's being explored. There's no negotiations. There's no
not
real
THR.
Meetings.
THR is saying it's happening.
THR is saying it's happening. Variety is saying
so
they're
Variety
exploring.
And Deadline are on the
Deadline
same page.
Is saying eventually, but no on the DC origin stories.
What's Collider saying? Have they chimed in yet?
Collider cover THR. I don't know if they've updated
yet. I think Adam Shitwood wrote an article last night.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. Mike Kalinowski, what do you think's real? What do you think's fake?
Well, when I see – all the talk before was it was not a sequel. It's a standalone film. It's not going to be any sequel. But then it made $1 billion. So, you know, maybe it's people above, you know, Todd Phillips pay grade and all that. They're going, hey, what you got? You got another one? You want to take a look at these other portfolio of movies that we can't get going? You want to take a look at one of these?
I like that.
You know, I'm just
saying. That's probably what they sounded like too.
Yeah.
You want to type in Brainiac there?
Yeah,
do you want to
like,
look Brainiac?
I mean, there was that talk for a while when this movie came out, did so well, and everyone's like, well, who do you want to see next? And like, a Lex Luthor one of those would be phenomenal. Like, Lex Luthor pre-Superman coming to Metropolis.
I thought Mr. Freeze, I told you that.
I want both.
Batmans are so tied. I mean, I guess the Joker proved it's not true, but Lex Luthor, he's got such a great history even before Superman shows up.
Yes.
You know, he to see him become beloved by Metropolis, and then there comes Superman, and he's like, oh, wait, I'm not. Yeah. No, you guys love me. Now you love this alien?
Yeah.
D, what do you think's
happening?
I like
that take, man. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
This is real.
It could be possible that Todd Phillips just walked into Warner Brothers Studios and everyone's like, Joker sequel. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But
this is not
my thing. Oh, go ahead.
This is not the random reporters that are saying this.
Right,
this
that's true.
The Hollywood Reporter that is saying this
the
is happening. This
and
is
not then, some, and then bigger not, and then big trade saying, whoa, 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 I've never seen this
that,
in a long time.
I could see Todd Phillips wanting to do this. I just have no idea if Joaquin would do it. Right? That's the thing. It's because I read something. I think that THR said they're giving him an option, I think is what the term they call it. But because it doesn't work without him, right? So, it, like, he can Todd Phillips could probably is probably interested in making more DC character movies, but it doesn't mean Joaquin's going to come back.
Well,
and I also don't even know, like, how, do you guys want a Joker sequel? I feel like my first thought was like, yes, immediately, because I love the original so much. But what are they going to do if they don't have Batman or something else? Is it just going to be the Joker again standalone?
Right. We've been reporting all month about Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips having discussions on the set while they were filming Joker, knowing the goal that they thought that they had, talking about a sequel. There was even a report a few days ago that said that Joaquin Phoenix joked to Todd Phillips, you should start writing the sequel now. Mm-hmm. So I think his mind was already opening up to doing a sequel when he was really enjoying filming the Joker. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that this – I don't think Todd Phillips would start developing something unless he had – pretty other than finances and whatnot, he had pretty much certainty that Joaquin Phoenix would be doing it based on a gentleman's agreement. I think they probably had spoken about it. Otherwise, no way Todd Phillips was like, I'm going to move forward with a Joker sequel.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see if Joaquin wants to come. Right. I think that they definitely knew. In terms of actually answering your question, though, about whether I want this or not, yeah, I guess I do. Because I didn't know if I wanted a Joker movie, and they did a great job. So if Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix want to make a sequel, yeah, I want it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to not watch it.
Yeah, like,
anything that these two people do, I'm happy to watch. I love this movie so much. It's on my top 10 of the year.
Riley?
Well, when I was thinking about this news happening this morning, I went, well, there's only one place to go, and that's to get him with the Batman. I mean, I didn't. I really
hit him with the Batman.
You got to hit him with the Batman. That's what I want. Because when I watched Joker, the one thing that stuck out to me was like, God, I want to see Batman in this world. This like gritty, this horrible, this weird, this everything kind of world that Batman would be interesting to be a part of. I don't think it's not needed because this movie worked so well without the character. I know the character was in it, but it could work without it. But with this. It then got me thinking of where does Matt Reeves' film land in the timeline and how can you get there somehow to where we get our Batman movie, we get our Joker sequel, we get our Batman sequel that then introduces this Joker. But I don't know, going to back to the point, Joaquin Phoenix has options. Those options were probably written into his contract but negotiating. So he might not want to come back because – He was against franchise films at one point. Right. He didn't want to do Doctor Strange because of all the films and all the.
Well, he didn't want to sign on to something before he knew what it was.
Right.
Now he knows what this is. He hasn't already signed on. For me, in my dream of dream worlds, what we see is the Batman, and we love it, and it crushes. And then we see Batman Joker. And it's got Robert Pattinson and it's got Joaquin Phoenix and it takes place after the Batman, both chronologically and in order of films.
Yep.
That's what I would like to see, especially if Robert Pattinson's Batman, which we don't know for sure, right, Mike, is in the 90s. We've heard that, but not positive.
I think it's going to be kind of like what the joke was. Yeah, it was the 80s, but it's not the 80s. They never went out and said it, but some of the cars looked it. You know, they never said it was the 80s, you know, but we just assume because of what it looked like.
Right.
And I think that works great with DC. They create this nebulous time frame that it could work, you know.
It's interesting. I'm seeing people in the chat. They're saying we don't need a timeline. Why do we need a timeline for all this? And if it just organically can happen.
Yeah.
To your point, is it set in the 80s? And then Matt Reeves, is it set in the 90s? So these timelines could match up.
I mean, look at what happened with Days of Future Past, right? Which some people didn't like. I really enjoyed
that
movie.
I loved Days of Future Past.
I really, really liked it, especially it being one of my favorite comic books that I read as a kid. They just did whatever they wanted. They're like, all these people are back. It doesn't matter, you know? So these things don't matter to me as long as the movie is quality. And that's all I care about.
So, in The Joker, Bruce was, what, like 10? Because his parents are dying, you know, depending on where you look at it, 8 or 10 or 12. And then Pattinson's Batman is supposed to be 30-something, like he's in the prime of his life as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going 15 years or so, 20 years further. And I think in the original script of Joker, it said he was 49 or something, or 45. That was what
right
the age was
there.
Supposed to be. So he'd be in his 60s. I don't know.
Let me pitch you guys a couple of Joker sequel options. You tell me which direction you would like to see them go in the most.
Oh.
So what we could do – what?
I like this pitch. Go for it.
Yeah, I'll be the development exec.
Thank you for your permission, sir.
You can either have you got go picture or pass.
Well, here are – I'm just saying what are the options. The options are Joker 2 picks up right where the first Joker left off. This is going to be a spoilery conversation. If you haven't seen the Joker yet, we're going to get into some Joker spoilers.
Yeah.
So it picks up right where we left off in all of the chaos. Joaquin is the same age. The Batman does not exist yet because he's still Bruce. He's about 10 years old. And we see what the next chapter is right from that point. That would be one option that they could do with a Joker sequel. Another option we could do with a Joker sequel is we could flash forward to the future 10 years 15 years, we could get him against Batman. We could have Batman in that, and it could be a Joker-Batman movie, right? That's another option. A third option would be Joaquin Phoenix is not in the movie. We have all of his followers. One of them takes up the Joker mantle, and that's who we pick up with in the future.
Oh.
Right. I that makes sense. But in that case, that's going to turn people off because everybody loved Joaquin so much as the Joker, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that second option, we could have that Bruce Wayne end up being Robert Pattinson, or we could include a new Batman into this universe and have our third Batman on the screen in the last few years.
And it could be a smaller role similar to when he showed up in Suicide Squad, right? Where he doesn't have to be one of the main characters. That's another possibility. If it's a joke, it's another Joker-centric movie.
So of all those options, Mike, are you feeling one of them, or do you think that there's an option that I haven't presented?
Seeing how Joaquin has said he didn't want a sequel, but then after done filming, he's like, I love this character. I want to go back. I don't think he wants to play second fiddle to the Batman. Like, and I don't want Batman to be second fiddle to the villain. Like, he's always been that way up until recently. You know, all the Keaton movies, and it's always he's played second. Hey, that's my man. You know, Michael Keaton's Batman. And I go to the Batman movies to see Batman. I don't care who the villains are. I want to pick up.
Right,
I've said this before. It could be
a whole show called DC Movie News. We spent a lot of time talking about these villains.
My favorite scene in Batman versus Superman is that warehouse fight. And that was not one big villain in that.
That's amazing.
That's a really good scene.
Yeah, I just love Batman. I want to see Batman in a Batman film. So I want to see a Joker film kind of pick up right after. I want to see Gotham dealing with this terror. Maybe it's early Gordon
is the
protagonist.
I mean, that was my
but still Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
That was one of my favorite parts of this movie. Is I feel like I finally saw Gotham represented in a way that was really mirroring our society, and it that whole aspect was like how these the Joker is getting these followers and that later on become his cronies or whatever, right? Like that's super interesting to me, especially because right now he's supposed to be in Arkham, right? So all of that they could make a movie just based on that.
Arkham Asylum movie.
That would be super interesting.
We can see all these villains. Yeah, and that would be a crazy way to introduce a Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Riddler, all of those. But it depends on what we're doing in the Batman movie.
I think Matt Reeves has his thing. He's on his track. He's going. He's building a Batman universe. They're saying how these villains are already established. They've been around for years. Batman's been around for years, which we've always talked about. And DC's like, and every time a villain shows up, we don't need the origin of it. These are the supporting characters in the world. We accept that.
Mark, do you think that Todd Phillips and Matt Reeves have had any interaction through this process?
God, you read my mind. I was thinking that very thing.
I hope.
I think maybe they've had meeting. I think they've explored something because Warner Brothers looks at the $1 billion gross of the Joker, and they've reached out and had a meeting to be like, how could we possibly do this? But then I flip that coin and go, Matt Reeves doesn't care. To your point, he wants to create his own Batman.
Totally.
And he's going off and doing that. So you know what? I'm gonna say no, that they actually haven't. I think that they're going all in on their new Batman. You got new Commissioner Gordon, obviously, so it's not JK anymore. It's we're going to get new characters and everything. Matt Reeves is going full ahead.
Cody, also, chime in. How are you feeling about this? Do you want to see a Joker 2? What iteration would you want to see?
talk to us.
I actually can't make up my mind. I'm just looking forward to seeing him actually play Joker for a full movie, because the first movie is just about him becoming Joker. I want to see him actually established as the comic book villain, see him running the crime syndicate in Gotham. I want to see all that.
And that's you want that to be Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would want Joaquin Phoenix. And I wonder if they could do this. And I know this is going to be strange, but lean into that, because this movie also felt like a horror movie to me.
For some of it. Especially with the score.
It was very, like, with the score.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that – and it reminds me of The Dark Knight Returns with, like, these Joker gangs and stuff. Like, so years in the future – he's maybe still in Arkham, but there's a shape, a darkness that's taking out these criminals, and we never see it. It's just like – it's Batman,
right.
But he's less of a character. It's less – we never go to Bruce Wayne. It's only this vigilante that's going through, and Joker somehow loves his followers, and it's like, we got to get rid of whatever that thing is, and that slowly introduces Batman. But how do we do that with Matt Reeves' characters?
What you got, Breather?
Well, you have, I think, Matt Reeves doing his thing. Let him do his thing. And we do a Joker, and he's in his world building up to it. And then maybe something happens where he goes away. The Joker just – maybe he – like for him, it's not fun anymore. I don't – the police, I keep beating them. This isn't fun anymore. He goes away. So then Matt Reeves' villain, Batman, takes over, and the villains – he's like, oh, my gosh. Finally,
I love that. Yeah.
Finally something – I'm coming back into
my match.
And then 5 years from now, audiences will be dying to see these two collide. Not right away, but – down the line, because think about Endgame.
Get Batman v Joker.
Yeah, think about Endgame. How it built up and what we were built up for 10 years. These moments, like every little moment of like. So now to finally build these two on their own paths, and eventually, if it works, them to come together.
What if Matt Reeves' Batman meets somewhere along the way, not a main villain or anything, but a Joker, and the way that we get Joaquin Phoenix to come back is he's like, all these cronies effed it up. You guys are all trying to be me. There's only one me. It's me. Get out of here.
Right.
And that's how we can happen in the universe.
And also the Joker in general, like, it's not like he loves his followers, right? Because he's not a political guy, right?
He's
there to create chaos and go against establishment. So that would make sense where he's like, no, you guys are not – you guys are just here to help me create chaos. You're not – we're not a family.
Final vote before we go to commercial break and then come back with more news. Who do you think did their job better? Who is more accurate right now? Is it THR or is it the deadlines of the world? Who do you think right now has the better scoop, Darina?
I don't know. I think I feel like whenever I just hear sources, I don't care how – these are all reputable media, but I just don't I think they're both on the same page for me because they're none of them are telling me an accurate source.
If you sit in the room, you play the game.
No, well,
THR,
we are going to play a game later, though.
What do you got?
Well, I think it's probably Variety and Deadline are kind of saying the same thing, so I think they're more accurate if they're having their sources.
Yes. Okay, Mike.
I trust Riley, so I'll go with Riley's vote.
Cody?
I like that. Yeah.
Who do you think is more accurate?
I'm not in the room, so I don't have to play along.
Cody!
Let's go to break!
Let's cut the break with the most fun crew ever, always playing my games. Guys, we are coming back. We got a lot more to talk about. We got Star Wars news, Kathleen Kennedy speaking up again, and people may or
more
may not
Star
be
Wars
happy. Noah Hawley, we're going to be
Ooh.
Talking about him and Star Trek. We might even be able to grab that to join us for that. So don't go anywhere. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it, the rotating band of guests like Matt Nose, John Kuga, we've had Taylor Rashadi on, we've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Who gives a fuck?
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well. Every Saturday and Sunday.
He's still working on his
spoons. Hi, I'm Andy Allen, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness. The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
I know.
Okay, trivia expert, what are we opening up with right now?
Star Trek. Are we listening to the music? I'm supposed to guess by that?
I don't know. What is this?
Is this
just royalty-free music?
Yeah, when you get to learn, it's just royalty-free.
That's
free.
Right.
You got to avoid those copyrights.
It's there to just remind you of great film scores.
I like that we have Thad join us. So Cody's like, we are playing by the rules. We have royalty-free stuff now.
This is how it always works.
Everything is
on the up and up.
We only do royalty-free stuff on this show. You didn't know?
Yeah. You guys are playing by the rules all the time.
Guys, sure. We stole
every day.
Okay.
It's royalty-free, right? Come on.
Royalty free.
No.
We stole Thad Williams for this because we need him to talk to us about Star Trek. You are the biggest Star Trek nerd that I know.
Oh, I appreciate that compliment.
I mean, your laptop literally has the Star Trek symbol instead of the Apple symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
I love that.
Thank you.
Nerd. Does it?
You nerd.
Yeah.
Nerd.
That's not my laptop.
I was like, oh, is this a...
No. You'll see it after the show.
Mine has Superman and Porgs and Star Wars and Little Bobby and the Juice.
If you don't put stickers on your laptop to show your nerddoms. Mm. Are you really a fan at all?
I have no stickers on my laptop.
Well, are you really a fan then?
Am I though?
Are you?
You might be, but you're just lazy, like me.
That's very true.
Let's talk a little Star Trek though.
What's going on, Riley? Tell us what's all new in the world of Star Trek.
Well, again, Deadline's coming in with an exclusive that Noah Hawley is going to write and direct the fourth Star Trek film in the J.J. Abrams Bad Robot universe. So it looks like we're having the original cast coming back. Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, Simon Pegg, and Carl Urban. So.
By original cast, I was like, wait, Leonard Nimoy's back?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That it's would be the same amazing. People with James Dean.
Okay.
So there's been mixed reception on the internet I've seen because he's a very strong voice, obviously coming from Legion and Fargo, but most recently from Lucy in the Sky, which was not as well received right. as those shows. Dad, when you first heard this, how did you feel about this announcement?
I was excited about a new take on Star Trek. I'm really looking forward to Star Trek 4. I want Star Trek 4 to happen. It's been stalled for quite some time. And I think that given his writing background, I think that he probably came in with a really good pitch for a different take because Chris Hemsworth is probably not going to be in this movie. Mm. And that was the original pitch for Star Trek 4.
Right.
It was going to be a combination where we were going to get George Kirk and James Kirk together in one movie. They couldn't sort out the prices for the Chrises.
When you said probably not going to be in this movie, I didn't even realize that was still possibly on a radar somewhere.
I think it's probably 95% positively that it's not going to happen.
But in the way that Henry Cavill's like suit still in my closet, right. They could still at some point be like, hello, don't forget about us.
You never know.
Now how do you feel about the new trilogy?
I actually, on the whole, enjoy the new trilogy. I thought that the Star Trek 2009 was a really fun movie. Right. I thought it was a great way to bring Star Trek back into the pop culture landscape and find a new legion of fans, no pun intended. But because I think that on the whole, I think Star Trek has kind of been was a dying franchise for quite some time. It was an aging franchise. They weren't getting younger audience members mm-hmm. excited about Star Trek. And I think that the new movies did that. I think the new TV shows are doing mm-hmm. that. I'm curious if this is in any way going to connect with what they're doing on the Star Trek universe television side now that Paramount and Viacom and CBS are merging again.
Do you want it to?
I think it'd be interesting if it did.
I mean, they did it in the old movies, and I loved it when I got to see Picard and Kirk.
Right.
So you never know. That would be fun.
It could happen. I mean, they're doing a lot of crazy stuff on the TV side, so I don't know if this would have any connection with their Prime Universe stories on television or CBS All Access, or if it would just stick with the Kelvin timeline and the new cast.
Thad, you were saying something outside about how Noah Hawley actually probably got this offer because he was saying that he came in with some kind of a pitch.
That's a good pitch. That's my guess. If I were guessing on this, I think that he probably came in for a meeting and had a strong take on what the fourth movie could be and probably threw his weight around a little bit and said, you know, if you want me to write this script, I'd like to direct it. Because clearly they're not hiring him off of Lucy in the Sky.
Right.
Because that did not seem to work for anybody.
Did any of you guys see it in here?
But I do love Legion and Fargo. So.
I saw the movie and it was so incredibly stylized, similar to Legion and Fargo's actually pretty stylized as well, that it made me think the movie was not excellent. It was not as bad as people said it was, but it was not excellent. But it made me think he must have a really strong take on this. Whatever that is, it must be there's no way that he's like, all right, studio, I'll do whatever it is you guys want. I'll just be that director you shoehorn in, tell me what to do, and I'll just make that happen. He's not that kind of director. He's very clearly saying, I'm going to make this the movie that I want to make this. Are you guys cool with that? Mm. And I actually think that probably will bode pretty well for the Star Trek 4 movie.
Well, wasn't there a rumor or wasn't he in talks to work on a Doctor Doom project?
Yeah, that's been bandied around for a long time.
Right.
I don't know what the status of that is.
When I first heard that, that got me very excited because I would like to see a showrunner like the Noah Hawleys, like the Brian Fullers of the world work on these superheroes. So that's why I personally got super excited when I saw this news in the morning.
Yeah. The thing that excites me the most about this is that it might finally put to bed this whole Quentin Tarantino nonsense.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you not into that?
I am not into Quentin Tarantino doing Star Trek. I don't think that he ever would. I don't think Paramount would ever greenlight that script.
Oh, so you're calling it nonsense because you don't think that was ever even on the table.
I don't think he was ever going to direct it personally. I know that they set up a writer's room to break his story and to come up with a script for it, but this whole like hard R Trek, that just sounded like desperation from Paramount executives.
Well, come on, don't you want to see some bloody tribbles?
Yes. Yes, I
mean,
do.
I would.
Sort of, kind of. I mean.
The Trouble with Bloody Trouble. Yeah. Well, that's actually what it should be called.
For what it's worth, Deadline is saying it's still separately working on this Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
And will likely carry an R rating. That's what they're saying. So,
I mean.
Mark L. Smith is the Revenant writer, so he's working on this. With Tarantino, apparently, that's what is being said in Deadline's report. So,
Mike, thoughts? Noah Hawley, interested?
I'm not as big a Trek fan as everybody, but I will say this: the Abrams stuff really hit me right. I love all three of the ones recently, but I have affinity for the other stuff too. So, I'm not attached to it in any kind of way. Like there's not, but I did love the George Kirk, that whole time travel they were going to be together. I did like
that. I love
that
idea.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be
such
really
a
cool.
good idea. Like,
yeah,
and no, you know, maybe since MIB kind of tanked, there's a little less bargaining power in there. But then Endgame is
right
billion, so it's
yeah, they couldn't work out the prices. I mean, it's Chris and Chris.
Yeah,
they're like two of
that
the
cast is
biggest
so
stars.
Lovable and likable.
And in general, what are they going to do with Chekhov?
They haven't said. I mean, they kind of hinted when they started prepping this fourth movie that that they were either going to say that Chekhov was on an away mission or like
I don't know if that
they hadn't decided
well.
Whether or not they were going to kill him off, but they definitely said that they didn't want to replace the actor.
Right.
Well,
he was so good.
They didn't want to replace Anton.
Let me ask you this, though, because we've been having the conversation a lot on the show recently as we were talking about the James Dean thing and now with Carrie Fisher, which are obviously two completely different examples. But would you want to see his character mocapped, recreated, CGI'd?
I'm not really into that in general, but if it came with the full blessing of his family, it served the story. I wouldn't want them to do it just to say like, oh, he's back in the movie. Chekhov's there.
Like if he popped in and was like, I'll see you guys in the future.
Yeah.
I've got to go on a mission, and we saw that. And then he leaves. So he's in like maybe 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, like
as like a tribute as opposed to a cameo,
like,
I guess.
Like young Carrie Fisher in Rogue One. Like that quick.
Something like that.
Yeah, that could be done if it serviced the story well and it gave a finality to his character as kind of a they did something sort of similar with Leonard Nimoy after he had because I think didn't he die before Into Darkness came out or right
I think
after
so.
And that they worked him in via a. View screen conversation.
Right.
Yes, Into Darkness. He was the view screen. It was like he was telling him about Khan.
Right.
Yeah. And then, but it's all view screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
He died 2 years after.
Yeah. I just think it was after.
2 years after.
2 years after. Yeah. Then when did they do the photograph? The photograph stuff was all in Beyond then. That's what
the photograph's in Beyond.
The photograph is in Beyond. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. And I don't think they reused footage or they were able to tribute him without creating a digital version.
He gets the alert saying that Spock was dead. He gets the message that Spock was dead.
Right.
Right.
Spoiler alert. Wow.
Oh, well, come on.
Well, he died back in the 80s, too. Yeah.
Spock dies a lot.
Yeah.
He died in the 60s a couple times.
Exactly.
Like they keep killing the guy.
Mike, how do you feel about a CGI / mocap?
I'm against all of that.
Even if it's 2 minutes, blessing of his family.
Yeah, no, that's different. But I think we're going down a rabbit hole. You guys talked about with the James Dean thing.
Yeah,
I'm
with you, man.
Dangerous, ugly rabbit hole that they're talking about Paul Walker and now number 9 that they're going to do. He's going to be in it.
What?
That was something, right? Am I?
I don't know.
I saw a story like they want to bring Brian back, and it's like with the blessing of the family, the brother doing the and I was like, yay, your actors they're dead. It's.
Totally.
I don't.
Roxy.
Roxy's on board with this.
You want digital fakes of everybody?
I want to be everywhere. You haven't heard?
Yeah.
But like,
there's a movie called Multiplicity. Do you ever see that movie about someone being everywhere?
Great movie. Thank you.
Underrated.
Yeah,
underrated.
It's a great movie.
Amazing.
Love
movie.
That.
Well, Roxy's not even here. This is a digital copy.
Yeah, she's actually a hologram. Like,
she's in
so then there'd be like then there'd be dozens of Roxy's not getting laid everywhere.
No.
Oh! Shots across the bow.
And we could start a support group for each other. Okay, it would be a nice support group of good people.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank
you
for joining us for a Star
worse
Trek.
Worse than I want to meet like Roxy number 12.
Yeah.
It's just hair's all disheveled.
Let me say goodbye to my friend Thad. Okay. Excuse me.
Oh, we're saying goodbye?
We got to get him back to work so that we'll stop talking Star Trek now.
Otherwise, the office is going to fall apart if he's not out there.
He opens the door. It's on fire.
Live long and prosper, too.
Live long and prosper.
Thank you. Thank you.
I still can't. No.
What is that? What is...
Well, you were making. You were pointing
this?
My fingers. What
why
are you doing?
Why is it doing
that?
Like,
I don't know.
Did
can you
a rock fall on your hand at what point?
It's the only way I can get them to
sweet
go together.
Christ, I've never seen that.
But
this
why
is a problem
is it like
with cloning.
That?
This is why.
This is Roxy 12 right
this
here.
This is Roxy 12.
See, your hologram's all fucked up now.
Whatever, team.
It looks. What's
whatever.
The movie?
Take my
Total Recall.
Quado.
Quado.
I know that part of the taxi driver is like, I got the hand.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
I'm in Scary Movie 2. Take my
the mashed potatoes. You got to stir the mashed potatoes.
I'm going
to
leave.
Yeah.
Thank you, Thad.
Welcome to the show, and see you later, dude. Thanks for joining us, Thad.
Thanks, Star Trek nerd.
What? Some of my mashed potatoes?
No, I don't want your mashed potatoes. I want to hear the next news story.
It's about mashed potatoes.
You are not the king of segs on this show, are you, Rocky? I noticed that.
What do you mean?
King of segways?
I know what king of segways
is. This is incredible.
You don't like my segways?
You're terrible on this. What, today? These rocks. I'm like, you're like, let's talk for laughing.
Speaking of
Joker stories.
I love
how
this.
How many times is Mike coming back? No times.
No times.
I don't know. I'm having fun with him.
Yeah,
I like him too.
No, I have his number.
But wait,
he's coming back.
Should Roxy, we talk about...
I love you.
Whatever, man.
Should we talk about other news, though? Before we go into this type of news, there's also important news that Mike missed when John Rocha was here.
That's a good point.
The outlaw?
If we're going to segue.
He wasn't in the office. I walked in. I wanted to see him.
Well,
he wasn't at his desk.
But
is he not always
you
there?
Might not be able to.
Yeah.
He's doing some other show right now.
He might be behind some things.
Oh.
And the if you assume, you'll make an ass.
Assume?
Out of you and me.
Cody,
come on.
It?
Yeah, that's what
it?
That's
okay.
What
Jesus.
Maybe
it's your terrible segue today, Rocks.
Queued up or what the, all right, I'm going to play right now. Here we go.
Here we go. What is this?
You can also go around the office and see who has the nicest ass, and they can be our Captain America.
That's true.
So there
we
go.
Who is that here? Kalinowski. He has the nicest ass.
Does he?
Everybody knows that.
Look at that.
It's a good ass.
I have not checked it out. I'm missing out.
It's a good ass.
Do you hear the passion?
He has got some – I think I have sweet dulcet tones. Roka's voice, man, that is
yeah,
that is
really
like
good.
Milk.
Like also,
that's like dark.
There he is.
Also,
look at this guy,
John Roka in the house.
Hey, brother.
Guys, anybody's loud in here today?
What's
going on? Look at this
guy.
Let's just bring everyone.
I was just singing your praises here.
Really?
I heard outside.
I was talking about your sweet dulcet tones. That is like a dark Colombian chocolate coffee coming out of that mouth.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't
see
this.
Your bedroom voice came out for this description of America's ass.
I've never heard Kalinowski's name be pronounced that lovely.
It's a terrible sounding name, but he says it great.
It's not a terrible sounding name.
No, don't put your name down.
Don't say that.
I've heard worse.
John, let me ask you this question because you and Mike have been friends for many years.
20 years.
20 at least.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. 2 decades.
A little bit over, yeah.
2 decades. And clearly you've made some observations over that time.
About Kalinowski?
You've made some observations about Kalinowski, about his behind.
He's got a great ass.
Okay, when did that come into the picture? Like, how long have you been holding? Because Mike didn't know you thought he had a great ass.
Oh, I always, whenever I watch Mikey walk away, it's an experience. So he works hard on that ass. And, you know, it's not easy to fit into his cosplaying costume that he has hanging in his apartment. So to slide into those leather suits is not easy.
Right.
What the fuck is happening
Mike,
right now?
Do you do
right
a lot of squats, or why is this? Or are you just blessed with good genetics?
Let me tell you something. I never.
Oh,
thought
he works hard at it.
I never thought I don't think I have one. I don't. I don't. My girlfriend refers to it as the Juicy, and that's my name in her phone is Juicy.
The Juicy.
I mean, that's what it's called. She's like, Juicy's feeling good today.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this.
Oh, then
and
she's
here's a
loving that ass.
Here's a little something about. There was this girl in seventh grade.
Oh,
we talk about bullying in school and stuff, and everyone's a victim, can be a victim of bullying. Her name was Meg Monroe.
Calling her.
You
call her
out. You could have last
Coral
name.
Springs.
Meg Monroe, if you want
in
to call
Coral
us.
Springs,
Coach,
boy.
Find her.
Holy
find
shit.
Her.
Coral Springs Middle School, she told me one day, she said, she's like, Mike, I feel, are you okay? You all right? I'm like, well, yeah, fine. She's like, I didn't know you were suffering from that disease. I'm like, What? She's like, you're sick. You have the disease, I heard. She's like, what disease? She's like, no acetol.
Oh, no acetol. Wow. That sounds like a good middle school joke.
And that haunted me.
Did you get it immediately?
Of course I got it right away.
So it's like, it's a flat ass, your kryptonite, basically?
I guess I had one. I didn't know.
Well, you don't have booty. Yeah. But you got a good ass.
I don't think I
have. What's the difference?
I agree with that.
Booty is
you can step on it to grab something at the top shelf.
I don't have that.
And he doesn't have that.
Yeah, little older than my girlfriend.
A shelf to put your
chachi.
Yeah, your girl does have a booty.
We're talking about the difference.
Decker has a booty.
When you call a girl thick. You know, she's like, am I thick?
With
like,
two CCs.
Two CCs.
Wait, but I thought thick is meant to just be curvy and hot.
I want to go to what Mike's saying, but Roka getting himself in severe trouble in the back right now.
Wait, what'd he say?
I'm complimenting Jen Sturgeon.
He just all of a sudden out of the blue. Decker got a booty.
Oh. She got a booty? She's proud of her booty. She works hard.
Saying that. We're all friends.
She got me in at Crunch Fitness. She works out every day.
Why would he get in trouble,
Shannon
though?
And Jen
a nice booty.
Yeah, Shannon works. She's got a booty.
Yeah, we were talking about...
Somebody play that EU song. Somebody play that Experience Unlimited song, that booty from the 80s. Somebody play that.
Think about how happy Ellis and Thad are that they left the show.
Right.
Roxy, I don't know why, but I thought about you laughing to yourself last night asking who was Roka's daughter. Who was the daughter he was talking to? What was the actor's name?
What is this conversation?
Remember with Don Johnson?
Okay.
Dakota Johnson.
Okay, Cody, maybe you can help inform our audience who doesn't know, and Mike Kalinowski. This is our real interview that John was doing with Don Johnson.
It was on Deep Cut, yeah.
Okay. Don Johnson.
With Don Johnson, this is a real moment from the interview.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake. That's right.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, God.
She's the one in the cute panties. That's right. How could you forget that?
Yeah,
that's right.
Easy.
No offense.
He's talking about his daughter?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's just
in that moment. He's talking about Crockett's daughter.
Laughing about it last night and just texted us. It was like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Just randomly pops in her head.
She wears the Stanford panties. That's what she was. That's how they described her after that movie came out. Cute girl in the Stanford panties.
So you decided to ask her dad about it.
She just randomly came up. Like the deep cut's always organic. Whatever comes up, comes up. And in that moment, I just saw her as a separate person. I didn't think of her connected to Don Johnson's daughter. Till he goes, easy. And when he said easy, I was like, right. No offense.
It just didn't even
occur to me.
She loved it. She's out of her father's shadow.
Yeah, but he was great. He rolled. As a player like Don Johnson is, he understood it, rolled with it, and joked about it.
Or just an appreciator of a nice
guy. Real question, does she have booty?
Look at that booty. Show me the booty. Give me the booty.
I want the booty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think, Mike?
I don't know.
Does she have the booty?
Dakota?
I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
I just think, Shades of Grey, right? I just love butts. Butts are great.
Beyonce got booty.
But
Decker got booty.
That's what I'm saying. So hashtag now booty. You can have a thick booty, but not be thick, right? Because my girlfriend asked me, she's like, "Am I thick?" I was like, "You're not thick. You're curvy." But then the other day she's like, "Hey, baby, you said my booty was thick," and she's got a thick booty.
I don't. But people say thick in a good way. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it's a great way. The THICC.
But why don't you think your girlfriend's thick?
She's not.
Because
look at her waist.
Her waist is tiny, but I would say because she's got a thick booty, I would say
she's,
that
she's upper top too.
Yeah.
She's
isn't that what makes somebody thick?
I'm not walking.
But I don't. It's a weird.
Yeah, I'm not. Like, I'm not
maybe Tori needs to start a poll.
This is on video, man.
I like his terminology. She got upper half too.
Yeah, this could be replayed. Just everybody.
I love her body.
Should we clip this out? We could clip this conversation.
And she was just like, "You called me thick." I was like, "Well, I was talking about that part."
She didn't want to be called thick.
Oh, she.
You know who's got booty?
Who?
Rachel McAdams. Rachel McAdams has booty.
Okay.
Jesus.
Your boyfriend.
Rachel McAdams got booty.
Watch her in Morning Glory. Please help me. I can't recall Rachel McAdams.
But what about
Lynette Search? Morning Glory.
But Chris Evans, though.
Rachel McAdams, America's
ass. He's got a good booty.
He's got the best one.
Look at Rachel McAdams when she tackles Patrick Wilson in Morning Glory.
You're very specific there.
Pause for a second. Jesus. I obviously know who Rachel McAdams is, Riley. Did you hear what Riley just turns to me and says? Spotlight.
Roxy,
that's
come
the
on.
One you pick out, not Mean Girls?
You are the type of person that could forget who Rachel McAdams is.
Never Rachel McAdams. Okay. Many other people, but okay. I don't know what her booty looks
type
like.
Type in Morning Glory and panties or something, and then you'll see everything you should see. Not that
is
I've done this search.
And then
clear your search history.
What is the movie where it's like, you're going to wear those in the panties your father laid out for you? What is that movie from? That movie quote.
Where is it?
What?
It's a movie quote where he's like, he was trying to talk to the girls, like, yeah, make sure you wear the panties that your father laid out for you. Like, what is that movie? It's either like, I feel like David Schwimmer said it in a film or. And then the guy's like,
the palmer?
Can you go down?
They're like,
go down?
You said that to her. It's like, I don't know what just came out of my mouth.
Can you scan down? I guess maybe.
I don't know if you guys are in the chat.
Okay, we cannot. Cody is unable to find Rachel McAdams.
Here's what I'll say. I'm done Cody looking for her butt, but I would like to find the Mike Kalinowski quote. Maybe we can figure out what movie this is from. Yes. Go ahead one more time, Mike.
It is. It's always talking about the guys, and the guys are like, you said what to her? It's like, I just came out. It's like, yeah, I want to do you in the panties your father laid out for you.
Whoa.
Why would you say that? It's like, I don't know. It just came out.
Panties your father laid out for you movie. If you know in the chat, let us know live, guys.
It's from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. That's what it was.
That's in Seinfeld?
That's what it was. It's like, and your panties your mother laid out. It's like, I don't know what I was doing. I just said it.
It was a long way to get there, but I guess we finally did.
They were trailblazing before Game of Thrones. Seinfeld.
Yeah. Do you want to join us for more news, or do you not want to join us for more news?
I think
today?
I can if you want me
to. I love you, too.
I love you, man.
Because
I love it here with my boy.
I'm the queen of segues.
Oh, here we go. This
you're
is
doing,
oh,
no. speaking
here we go.
Of,
no.
You're doing a great job, Roxy, except for the segues.
Speaking of panties, other people who wear panties are in Star Wars.
No, I would have said this is like new Star Wars. I would have gone, new Star Wars news has got me panting today. I would segue from the panties to panting.
Do you know that this isn't panting?
Yeah, panting.
Either way, we got to end the show right now.
I was trying to think. You know what I was trying to think of? Maybe you can help me with this one. I'm sitting in a room with all these stars.
Oh, boy.
Wars.
Here we go. No, that's not good.
How about stars who've been at war, like Kalinowski and I in the Schmodown? That's
possible. There it is.
We got there.
Nope. Okay.
No? All right.
Well, it was okay. Right. Let's just hear the Star Wars.
Let's just now fight about something else. Star Wars.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Bradley, what's going on?
Who's got the best ass in a world far, far away?
It's a long way to go for a taco.
Well,
here we go.
Definitely a wampa.
All right. So we have some actually a little bit of breaking news from THR here that is saying that Lucasfilm has actually found a director for the 2022 dated Star Wars movie that originally was going to have Benioff and Weiss. Mm-hmm. But they're not announcing this person for another year. So we're going to have to wait to see who it is, what they're doing. It is John Cena.
Yeah.
And that buried in this article as well is Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni will have a lot of say over the future of Star Wars, which should get Star Wars fans pretty excited here.
But not shocked.
But not Darina, apparently, because she went, whoa. I don't know. It was that face.
What?
Oh, you like it? No?
Yeah, I don't care.
Sometimes she's unaware of her facial expressions.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And my crooked fingers.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Here's my question to you guys. I really don't remember. I thought the 2022 movie was taken off of the slate when Benioff and Weiss were removed. I thought
news. There was nothing said.
Okay.
So we just assumed because they were out. So now this report is actually saying that it's on, that's still 2022, but there is a director. We don't know who it is.
Let's dreamcast for a hot second. If you got to pick the director of the 2022 Star Wars movie, who would it be coming to you, John, first? Because you made panties jokes. So
Patty Jenkins.
Oh. Panty Jenkins?
Panty Jenkins.
Panty Jenkins.
Patty Jenkins. I think because she was able to do with Wonder Woman, and Star Wars needs female directors, and you got to make a grand statement. I think Patty Jenkins would be incredible step in and
good
do
call, man.
Even and see what she can do with this universe. Certainly, she handled it with DC, so why not?
Okay, Mike.
Just to piss everyone off, Zack Snyder.
Yeah!
No! Dude, I want his seven samurai, seven Jedi.
That.
He was originally supposed to. I thought there was a rumor that he was going to do that.
But would you actually want that?
I'm a big Snyder fan.
Yeah. I'd
watch the hell out of a Snyder Star Wars movie.
Yeah, he's going to leave me hanging.
I'll get you.
Oh. Snyder, hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm, but.
You guys are dudes.
Extreme.
Dudes, high five. Rita, give it to me.
Penis.
We're growing.
We didn't
nice.
Even
good high
five
there,
properly.
Ladies. Good high five. Come on.
Good work over there, Rox.
Rox, here's a little, Roxy, a little something for you.
Roxy's the best.
Thank you.
Thanks to John Rocha, Mike Kalinowski, Roxy Shire.
Bye, everybody.
I'm Mark Riley.
Cody, I deserved every second of that. Oh. I don't even want to try again because what if?
Look at her. When just you guys do a fist high bump. Five,
just do
look
a fist
at her elbow. Elbows. That's what I tried to do, but she.
No, wait,
but
are you bad?
You
at
know
this?
What? It's also kind of my
are
fault
you bad
because because of playing the cello for years and years, my wrists do weird things. So maybe
what?
I went like this. That's why I can't bowl. That's why Cody would kick my ass at bowling.
Is that you in that video we put on there?
Yeah.
It's like walking up the
I
wall.
I want to bowling now.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sweating right now.
It is really hot.
Riley, let's go back to you. Any dream casting for director for Star Wars 2022?
I mean, I would love to see a Christopher Nolan. I would love to see a I want to give you all of them.
Okay.
I can tell you who I think really is going to be – that it's actually this.
What do you think?
Jon Favreau.
You think Jon Favreau is the director of only 2022?
For now.
Okay.
I think it's actually Jon Favreau. I think The Mandalorian crushed on release. And there is almost a united fandom from around this show. And they need to right that ship as far as the movies go. And they have this date set. And Benioff and Weiss were in there, and then they're out. Who are they going to turn to? They can look in-house. And they can look to Jon Favreau, who is – directed The Lion King, Iron Man 2, all these great movies. Jungle Book. Works with Disney so well. Man. He's right there. And if Dave Filoni is also being rumored or as far as this report to be a part of the future of Star Wars, they're working very well together on The Mandalorian. He could come in as maybe a story producer, a producer, executive producer, what have you, and maybe – pick up the thread that was left by Benioff and Weiss. Jon Favreau directs that one. They start to get a lot more confident in Dave Filoni, who directed the first pilot of The Mandalorian. And then that second movie is Dave Filoni coming in as a director.
Okay. D, thoughts? Who do you want?
I don't want what Mark is saying. But
I know, because it's going to get –
You don't want Nolan or you don't want Favreau?
No, Favreau. So I think that you're right because that sounds like the most – the choice that makes the most sense and the safest choice. And Disney's usually safe.
Yeah.
I like to see change in my franchises and not the same thing over and over again. I would love an Alfonso Cuarón or a Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
That would be my. Cuarón, it's never going to happen, but I would love it so much.
I love Cuarón.
He did such an amazing job with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's the best Harry Potter movie.
His Potter stands out out of all eight of them.
And you're not a fan of Bigelow?
I like Bigelow. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know.
You
like
know what her Star Wars.
Yeah, it's been a while, since she's done something that was like, you know, since Hurt Locker, right? That people were like 100% behind. Yeah.
But I'm just
for.
Looking more even like 80s, like Point Break, Near Dark. Like she just makes fun movies.
Yeah, that's 36 years ago.
I know, but she could bring that. Like that's the thing I miss about the new Star Wars movies is like they are very different than the original trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I just want a little bit more of that.
You want more fun and less safe. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand that.
Cody, any number one pick for you, Star Wars 2022?
He'd be really cool, but he'd never do it. Alex Garland.
Annihilation, yeah.
Why do you say he would never do it?
Because that style doesn't mesh well with what Disney's currently doing with Star Wars. It'd be what Gareth Edwards was trying to do with Rogue One, but they kind of changed it a little bit.
Which, in my opinion, is the best new Star Wars movie.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was additional Star Wars news, though, Mark.
Right. So if we add on to this, Kathleen Kennedy actually said that the Kevin Feige movie that was reported as happening is a ways off.
Ways off.
Is a ways off. Is that because of – so the report basically said that they looked at the fact that Kevin Feige stepped out of Marvel, so to speak, across the aisle, so to speak, and did Sony's Spider-Man, was able to produce that to great effect and great critical acclaim as well as a box office. So he can do this Star Wars. So they started talking to it, but they're really just kind of planning it right now. And it is a ways off, to use her quote.
What do you guys think a ways is?
I think they are really looking to get this new trilogy or this new set of movies, the 2022, 2024, 2026. They want to focus on those. Get those off the ground. And from her comments.
So you think a ways is a decade?
Could be. But you know what, though? Let me say this. I think he could come in and do a standalone movie, and they can maybe get some – they already have some goodwill with Mandalorian. If they get this 2022 movie out there and it does well and the fans all love it and we're all behind Star Wars again as a collective fandom – and the audience is turning out, then I think they could start to slowly go back to their plan of releasing another movie that's separate from a saga, a trilogy of films, and have Kevin Feige's movie come in maybe after 2022. So maybe 2023. That's a guess for me.
What do you got, John? The breather.
Oh, sorry.
You took Mike's job.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, no, I'm saying you took Mike's job with breathing.
But I love that.
That's how
that,
I know he wants to talk.
It lets you know something good's coming. He does the
when he's about to project.
Or he's thinking about your ass.
That's a good ass. By the way, I came up with that just when we were on the stage. I didn't know I was going to say it before we walked on the stage and schmoed out. So it was funny to
say what?
Your ass. So it was like, it just came up organically. Anyway, 2021 is when Kathleen Kennedy's extension runs out.
Right.
So you talk about this ways off. I think this is their way of kind of opening the door to the possible transition to Feige possibly taking over. So she's saying it's a ways off. We're going to work on it. We're going to negotiate, blah, blah, blah. To me, that sounds like corporate speak. Like, we don't know where we're going to be in a couple of years. So for right now, because you want me to answer the question, it's a ways off. There's a lot that needs to happen. There's a lot we need to negotiate, blah, blah, blah. But you have to keep in mind, Kathleen Kennedy's talking that her extension runs out in 2021. They haven't re-signed her to another one or even had conversations about another one from what we – and nothing's been reported. So you're like, okay, is this her way of saying also, like, okay, it's a ways off. We'll get to it. She's saving a bit of face herself. So if they make the transition, it was always in the plan that it was going to be a little bit down the road.
I think possibly, because I honestly don't think it's going to sign again. I think 2021 will be the last that we do see of Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, I think
this.
So.
Do you not?
I think there is a trail of bodies left in her wake of great directors that have left, and there's, you know, there's something there.
You
know,
so you think 2021 will be the end of her reign? Yeah. What do you think, John?
I think so. I think she'll leave. I think she'll be like, you know what? Yes. I've taken enough. I've did what I could. Look at my box office success.
Exactly.
You could be upset all you want, but look at the box office success. And under my watch, The Mandalorian came out. And so all this – so there's enough. The video games came out, the comic books, the books that a lot of people love. So there's a lot that she can point to that leaves a legacy that she did leave a positive impact on Star Wars. But I also take in Pilot Kalinowski's point that there are a trail of great directors that were either fired or walked away from projects under her reign. But she has enough for her to say, I did it. I left my mark. I'm gone.
Yep.
You agree, Mark?
Yeah, I think Rise of Skywalker, it's going to do well. It's going to do well. Yeah. And I think that's going to be her swan song. I think for everything you said there, Mandalorian, though, I will say that she has no idea what the comic books are. She's not pulling from it. But it is under her watch. Yes, I get that. But I think she's gone after Rise of Skywalker.
But is it going to be more successful than Cats?
You know that
I finally watched the trailer for Cats too. Have you guys seen the second Cats trailer?
No. Idris Elba.
You're missing out. It's so good.
What?
I can't breathe. Like, come on.
Wait a minute. You're being serious?
I have never wanted to see something more.
Wait. Okay,
but because that, it looks so good.
It looks
good,
like a train wreck?
Because it looks like a really good train wreck.
It looks like an acid trip.
Yeah.
Waiting, okay. And I'm ready for it.
Fair enough.
Like, I am so all about Cats. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I probably probably will see episode 9 before Cats, but not guaranteed. I'm so excited.
Roxy, let me tell you something. If that happens, that's a personal attack on me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I love Star Wars, Mark, but I am with Roxy in this case.
Okay.
Because
I'm going to say it to you. Personal attack.
Yo, Judy Dench, man? Yo. Come on.
Wait,
did
Jesus help?
Sitting on the chair. That was my favorite.
Did you see this?
But,
did you see this? Though? There was a tweet that was going viral when I saw it, and they're like, I don't know how they did it, but they got Idris Elba up there in Cats, and they made him not attractive. It was like leading up to be like another Idris Elba. Like, oh my god,
wait,
he's so
are
hot.
Are you saying you wouldn't bang Cat Idris Elba?
Me? I would have sex with Cat Idris Elba 10 out of 10 days.
Yes.
He is so hot. I don't know what this Twitter person is talking about.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
The fact that you're talking about having sex with a cute cat. Can I just get the
Cody,
out
can
here?
You pull up, can you pull
part.
Up that the Idris Elba image? Because it's really good.
Eyes.
Cat Idris Elba, please.
Can I just say beef or Brianna in the chat? Personal attack? That's what you put there?
Come on!
Personal attack. Damn.
Oh, he's so hot in every way.
Well, I will agree. The hat is badass.
No!
The hat is pretty dope. That is uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. That is uncomfortable.
Kill that's furry Idris Elba.
10 out of 10
kill
days.
That with fire.
10 out of 10 days.
Wow. I will say this, though.
Come on. Don't you want to see that more than what happens with Ray's parents?
Let me ask you this.
I can honestly say no.
I don't remember because it's been a long time since I had cats. What's a cat penis do?
Oh, boy. All right.
Here we go.
Dangles downwards?
Here we go.
Oh, what do you mean? It's supposed to like a duck penis?
Well, like, where's his penis?
You mean like – so like a
– well, it's
like
covered
a,
up
like
right
a,
now.
Like a, it is Elba cat as opposed to a real cat you're asking. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like the same thing as Shape of Water where they never showed the fish penis.
But they did talk about it.
I know. And then that
upset me. We found out how it works.
Right. It opens up, right? So maybe that's what the cat thing does. It meows or purrs when it opens up.
What's wrong with you, Mike?
Are you not into cats, Mike?
I think we're all just trying to figure out what to say.
Can I say cat? Cat? Oh, no, go ahead, Mike.
No? Are you not into musicals with furries?
What you got?
Dee, 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 dee.
Cody, let's open up the phone lines, get some callers, see how they're feeling about cat penis and stuff like that.
Cat Taylor Swift is hot. That's the hottest Swift I've ever seen.
No, I don't. I don't.
Taylor Swift's actual cat?
Yeah. Cat Taylor Swift is, the most attractive I've ever seen Taylor Swift.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen.
What?
Oh, there she is.
She is a cat lady.
That's a sexy
cat
lady.
Is she the leader? She's the main...
She's just a singer, a performer. There's another shot of her from the new trailer. She's quite attractive.
Who's the lead cat?
It's a new girl.
A new girl. Okay.
They introduce her in the trailer.
The lead cat?
She looks good.
Who's Mr. Mistopheles?
It's a fucking...
Isn't that what Ian McClellan
is
playing?
So weird, man.
Bestiality is not bestiality when they're a person.
Isn't this a furry? Is this a furry or not a furry?
I think so.
Yeah, these are definitely
I think
furries.
It's the furry movie.
I feel like it qualifies for furry.
It does.
Ooh, yeah.
Look at her. Sexy cat
That's sexy
lady.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. She looks kind of like
meow for us when we have somebody on the line.
She looks like the Wonder Woman villain in the comics.
Oh, Cheetah.
Cheetah? Yeah. Well, we're going to have a cheetah. And it won't look like that.
Cheetah sister.
I can't picture Kristen Wiig looking like that either.
No, I don't think so. Caller, you're on Collider Live? Yeah, caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Yash from Toronto.
Oh, hey, what's going on? Hell yeah. What do you got for us today?
I connected. Nothing, man. I'm just driving on my way back from work right now. It's like 4:30 up here.
Ooh. Nice.
What time is it here?
Yeah.
Well, there's a clock, literally.
A little bit behind, yeah.
Okay. So what do you – any questions for us to talk about today?
Yeah, the thing I wanted to talk about really was one thing was the Star Wars thing, but the secondly was just a separate question I had, like, from before. But for Star Wars, would you guys, like, would not mind seeing Rick Famuyiwa directed? I thought he did an excellent job with the second episode of Star Wars, Mandalorian.
Yep, that's a great call.
Yeah.
Great question. Absolutely. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it, Yash. What do you guys think? Rick Famuyiwa.
Yeah, because look at the Mandalorian episode 2. It's a fantastic episode. I think that there was a reason why he was attached to Flash for as long as he was, but creative differences being what they are, I think he could knock the hell out of a Star Wars movie.
D?
Sure. I mean, the first endorsement. No, the first episode of Mandalorian, I was not as into as most people. Like some of it I really like enjoyed, and then the other one I was like the other half kind of felt like Fantastic Beasts to me, where I was like, what? There's nothing going on. What's up? It's just like images, and it looks fine. But the second episode, I enjoyed it much more. So
I also enjoyed it more. Yeah. Riley, what are you laughing at?
Oh, just laughing at Dorian, who sent a message via Slack.
What's
your
message?
Yeah, well, can I say about Dorian being on the show?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because let's call him out, because he's saying, after watching today's live, I'm not coming on Collider Live. And guess what? You're coming on, Dorian!
So after we are live today, we are going to do a pre-tape for Thanksgiving Day.
It
will be on Thanksgiving Day. We don't want to leave you guys without content for a single day over the holidays, so we are pre-taping the fuck out of it. Mm-hmm. And we convinced, like, tickle tortured Dorian into doing it with us. He really doesn't want to.
No.
Yeah. Which is the fun part.
So in about an hour, you can call us.
But yeah.
Let me tell you, as someone who's put Dorian on Heroes a number of times, this is Dorian's game. He likes to claim he doesn't want to come on. He doesn't come on until you beg him to come on. Then he comes on and he kills it.
Oh, he's so got a claim game.
Yeah,
huh?
He does. He has a claim game. It's this whole thing. You just deal with it and roll with it. And he does a great job.
But it's like he wants you to beg him.
He wants
to
because he likes that. He needs that stroking.
Are you guys?
I respect it.
Are you guys performing the Cats movie?
This is what they do for 2 hours. They just play with a ball of string.
Are you guys on catnip?
No, this is literally... Oh. And
we have a caller, Roxy.
All right, caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Keaton. I'm from Atlanta.
Hey, Keaton from Atlanta. Happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
Great name.
Yeah, I was going to say, first of all, Roxy, I love you, and I love Collider 2.0.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Keaton.
Thanks.
Appreciate that, babe.
Yeah, and shout out to Dorina, my evil sister. I love Batman Returns.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Batman fan.
Yes, I love you.
Yeah,
God damn
I got,
it, Cody.
A huge Batman double-sided vintage poster and everything, so I'm a big nerd. But I just had a question. Like, what movie or, like, handful of movies do you guys wish you could go back and see in theaters because either you never saw it in theaters or you just want to experience it again, like, for the first time in theaters?
Great question. Thank really you, good. Keaton, so much for calling in. Let's talk about it. Roka, does you seem mean, confused.
Does he mean, like, you would forget the experience?
Yeah,
and then
saying
go
for the
again?
First time.
I think The Matrix is the number one thing that stands out for me.
Oh, my God.
Seeing The Matrix the first time blew my goddamn mind.
Oh, it's a lot ahead for me.
Yeah?
You know I've never seen it.
What?
Which is, yeah. Wait, I'm sorry, what?
It comes up all the time on the
show. I will have you at my house with my girl. Like, we'll cater to you coming and watching The Matrix.
It was not weird until he proposed that he would have me at his house with his girlfriend.
Well, I have to make sure.
I'll have you at my house with my girlfriend. Yeah, but then it sounded like he was propositioning
something.
No,
it didn't. You just took it
there. Only if Don Johnson's there with his daughter.
No offense, no offense, no offense.
I really want to see that, but that would not be the number one on my list. Because I haven't seen it, so I don't know what that experience would be like. I would have died and gone to heaven to have seen Wizard of Oz in the movie theater for the first time.
Oh, I like that.
Imagine that experience.
Yeah.
Imagine that. How crazy would that be? For so many different reasons, the technical parts of the movie, but also just watching that for the first time. It's one of the best movies of all time, but seeing that in the theaters with everybody, wow.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got?
Two different ones. One, I wish I was my age right now, but I could have seen Empire Strikes Back.
Ooh. Mm.
Yeah.
For because the first time today?
Yes, because I don't – as a kid seeing that – I saw it in a drive-in. I didn't take the gravitas of I'm your father. I didn't like – you know, to know no spoilers back then and all that.
So you told people?
No, I didn't know. But I was a kid. You don't know. He's like, okay, he's his dad. It didn't matter. It mattered. Star Wars. But that's it. I would love to see – I don't know. The audiences are different now, but I would love to see Flash Gordon.
Ooh.
I saw it in the theaters, kid, but to see it like – because we saw us together, Ragnar. You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth right there. That's it. You and I forget.
Yeah.
We saw Ragnarok together.
I know
you do. Mm-hmm. We saw Ragnarok
Wait,
together.
Wait, what is happening?
No, that we
I lost the showdown to Jeff Snyder on a Flash Jordan question.
He tried to sing.
Oh, God.
Mm. And then I called him out.
Yeah, you did. We saw Ragnarok together, John and I. And
we
at
did.
This point, we had had like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I hated. Homecoming, which I felt was kind of boring. So going into Ragnarok and hearing all the, oh, it's so funny. I was just like, I went in one. It's like, I'm going to hate this movie. I want to hate this movie. And I basically sat there the whole time like this in the theater, just arms crossed, not enjoying it. And these guys are like, you didn't give it a shot. I watched that movie now. It is one of my favorite MCU films.
I love
that movie more and more every time I see it. So for me, it's like Flash, and like his inspiration was Flash Gordon. So like to know that back then, and to be able to enjoy it for what it was.
As people know, I have a large group of friends go see movies with. Yeah. Kalinowski is always in that crew.
That's an understatement.
He's legendary for going to Marvel movies with because he's the guy that's going to make those loud comments in the back because he's a DC guy.
And not all the time.
He will do the exhales. He'll do all those kinds
what
of
comments?
Things.
Okay, so here's what. Like,
Thanos sure.
is like, oh, we're going to
– Right.
Oh, we're going to Asgard. You mean Asgard, huh? You know, Jeff Goldblum and I just says, oh.
Yeah, he made it really loud.
Hey, what do you got against Jeff Goldblum?
I love Goldblum, but that movie at the time, and I own it. I own up to
it.
Which
I respect about Mike.
Yeah, I was like, no, I was completely 100% wrong. That movie is a blessing and it's a joy. It's a joy.
What's yours?
My first thought was horror, Returns. Obviously. Mm. No, because I saw Batman Returns in the theater, and that was awesome. That was a great memory that I have. But The Exorcist – Cody. The Exorcist. Because it was such a crazy thing that happened
lines.
Because it was in the 70s, and it's such a ridiculous fucked up movie.
Yeah.
Not just to watch it now, but imagine back in the day.
With an audience like that.
An audience like that. I think people probably left the theater freaking out.
They did.
I would love to have seen that.
Yeah.
And I just saw it in the theater for the first time on the big screen, and it is a beautiful looking movie. It's just so well shot. So.
Yeah.
Riley, what do you got?
Oh, I want to go opening night of Jaws.
Ooh,
I want it with an audience. I want to see it for the first time with that audience. I want the scares. I want people jumping in. They did the same thing as Exorcist. Some people walked the fuck out of that thing. And I want to see that movie with an audience. It's so fun.
But Cody? Then there's a shark in the screen.
That's exactly. Yeah.
What are you watching, Cody?
I'm going to go with Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
nice.
Cody.
Yeah.
See, that was one of my favorite theater experiences.
Yeah, I remember opening night. Where it's like, I remember watching – you felt your seat shaking.
Yes.
And to see those dinosaurs at the time, you're like, nothing was like that at the time. And you're just like, holy crap.
One of my favorite memories from that movie is when they come out of the ceiling and the raptor falls and then it gets up and jumps at her leg. Mm. I remember being in the audience and Dave, everybody, including me, jumped. It was so great.
That's an interesting way to think about for my personal theater experience, because I saw it as a kid in Mexico, and I remember going with my mom, and all of these people around us kept kind of laughing and clapping because they were enjoying the movie so much, and my mom was terrified. Like, she was not happy. She was so scared of what was going to happen to the kids, if the dinosaurs were going to eat them, and she's just like, these people are crazy, so...
Dorina, los dinosaurios.
Exactly.
Dorina, no.
Let's take one more. One more caller before we cut to commercial. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name's Grant. I am calling from Dallas.
Grant?
Hello.
Grant?
How you doing, Grant?
Grant, happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. I've loved what you guys have done with the new show.
Thanks, man. What do you got for us today?
So I know I'm a couple days late, but I was wondering if I could talk box office.
Hell yeah.
So... this past weekend, we had Charlie's Angels come out, and it's been a disappointment with the box office numbers. And I've noticed a trend the last couple of weeks with Charlie's Angels and Dr. Sleep and Terminator. And it makes me wonder, like, in the world of entertainment, the public is told you vote with your wallet. Is the public saying we don't want these kinds of movies anymore with the, you know, late sequels or universe continuity movies? Is it people saying, hey, I don't care that these movies are good, it's not what we want anymore, and especially not in the fall, which is now known as Oscar season?
Graham, so glad you asked this question. Thank you so much for calling in. I am especially happy that he asked this because you guys know I read every single comment on every video like a psychopath because I love it. And then I post them on my Instagram when you guys are being especially dickish, which is the best part.
Thanos would be a better parent, though.
I mean, that's straight up fact. So what was interesting is we did a clip out this week about why Ford v. Ferrari was crushing Charlie's Angels. And everybody, like multiple people in the comments were like, up, Roxy again, saying men will never see a woman, which I just straight up never said, and no part of it,
because
they're just seeing the clip out and they're assuming what I'm going to say.
Sure.
It didn't even come up, because that's honestly not what I thought it was, so I didn't say that, but I thought that was pretty awesome, and so I'm glad with this question. It's just mostly about reboots and remakes, and it's not that necessarily Hollywood doesn't want to see women in lead roles. It's that they want original pieces. And I think that's where people are voting with their money.
Yeah, because Dr. Sleep is not female fronted or directed.
Exactly.
And it still did as badly as Terminator and Charlie's Angels.
Exactly.
Well, go all the way back to Blade Runner 2049. That didn't do well in the box office. Mm-hmm. And people were clamoring and excited for that. And that's Denis Villeneuve. You know, so you got – I think that's a great point, and the great point that Caller brought up as well. This may be executives thinking, oh, this is a safe choice. Let's bring these characters back. Let's bring them all back. And it worked for Halloween because it was only $10 million budget. It was nothing. Yeah. So you can do it that way. Do it small. Then you get a – you know who should be worried? Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, because Bill and Ted 3 is coming out. And if people don't come out for that, I think that's really the final nail. Why?
Because
it's 30 years later.
But compared to these other franchises, like, they have been making bad Terminator movies, right? Like,
right.
Charlie's Angels,
right.
There's a lot of reboots.
Bad Charlie's Angels movies.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
TV shows. Yeah.
But my point is that Bill and Ted, we haven't seen a Bill and Ted movie since the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? It's been a long time. And I feel like, at least for me and like my 80s people, we all are going to go
see
that movie.
But there's that whole group that they have no idea who those people are.
Yeah,
these bit massive movie going audiences. They're like
Alex Winter. Nobody knows Alex Winter.
But Keanu Reeves,
John Wick,
The Matrix is coming back. And
but it's also people are like, they're trying to blame the marketing that Charlie's Angels was marketing. Ford versus Ferrari. They saw the trailers, but they weren't doing this massive marketing push.
Right.
And it's just something interesting.
Do you think that's because the actors are likable? Because
I think that's a combination of it. I think we are to your point, Roxy. I think we're getting to a point where there are certain. And it's a fine line, right? But there are certain properties, like a Terminator and Charlie's Angels, where they had multiple iterations of this thing over and over and over again, where everybody's like, by this time, I don't care. Ford versus Ferrari is obviously is a original based on true events.
And it looked good. So I think people are like, that looks good over Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. I only saw, of the reboot culture right now, the only one that I saw was Terminator. And it was a movie that I didn't know necessarily needed to be remade, didn't feel like they needed to. But I will say I'm so happy it was because I saw it and I loved it.
I loved it, too.
I thought it was excellent.
It's a bummer that it didn't do well.
Yeah, so that's a bummer for me. And it's the only one I can speak to, again, because I don't like to talk about movies that I haven't seen, which I have not seen Charlie's Angels, so I don't know why people didn't see it yet. But
well, why didn't you?
I didn't see it because I, like an obnoxious piece of shit, missed the press screening and haven't been able to find time to see movies that I'm not press screening. Okay. Like if I'm covering it, mm-hmm. I see it, and if I can't go, if I can't see it beforehand, it almost isn't worth my time for the fan. Like I would rather go see another movie in advance to tell people what I think about that.
And there's just so much content.
I will absolutely go see Charlie's Angels in the theater, though, especially because I do think you should vote with your money, and I 100% want movies like that to be made. I loved Charlie's Angels growing up so much. It meant the world to me. So in the next week or so, I will 100% go see the movie.
I love Kristen Stewart. That's why I'm going to go see it. She's so fun.
Let's go together.
Let's do it.
Is it the same situation that you didn't get the press screening, so you didn't go either?
Yeah, I mean, it's also – there's just so much content out there. Like we're all very busy people, and if we sit there – we go to work all day and morning, and then at night we had to watch a TV show or a movie to prepare for an interview, right? Yeah. And sometimes we don't get to pick the movies we want to see.
People bitch at me about the fact that they say that I don't want to go see it if I have to pay for it. That is so not the case. I'm so happy to support it with my money. It's about coverage for me. Yeah. I have to cover things for work, and if I'm not specifically assigned to cover something, then I'm trying to find time in my schedule for it. Yeah. And that's just a peek behind the curtain for what it's like when you're a huge fan of so many different things, and I'm watching 40 hours of content a week for fun, but also for work.
Oh, I like to peek behind the curtain.
That's
what she said.
Oh yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Mike, what's happening? Crossed arms.
I don't know what to think. You know, because. Someone made a good point. I can't take credit for this. They were saying, like,
who was it?
I don't remember. It was on Twitter.
Oh.
Someone in our zeitgeist of friends and pundits, and they just said, like, they're probably John Cena.
Oh, yeah. Really? John Cena.
It's like, back in the 70s, and again, I didn't watch Charlie's Angels, but it wasn't a good show back then.
How dare you?
So here we are, 30 some plus years later. Two different films, and those films were great, campy fun.
Yeah,
they were just
one,
yeah. Then they did a TV show in 2010, was it? Yeah.
Something like that.
I think
that,
lasted two episodes, maybe.
Bombed.
So it's like they keep – because it's an IP and they think the name alone is going to generate the box. It's not. I would have rather Elizabeth Banks taken those three girls or two girls or whatever and made a new franchise, created a new content.
Did you see
But
the
I know
movie?
The studios want the IP.
Studios are
did
afraid
you see
of
it?
Original content.
Did I see the movie?
Yeah.
I did not, and I have
did
no desire to.
Did anybody in this room?
I have no desire to. Yeah.
I heard it was pretty good, actually.
I've heard good things. I'll say this. Like, I have no idea of what it's about. Like, that's a problem. If you don't know if there's a villain in it.
It's Charlie and his angels.
Right, but what's the story? What's going to bring me in? I don't know it. And I've seen the trailers, and the trailers are like, okay, cool. It looks like they're doing a Kingsman version of Charlie's Angels with, hey, welcome to this, and here's all your weapons. And I'm just like, well, saw it with Kingsman.
So you guys, other than Roxy and I, do you guys have no interest in watching it, or do you do want to watch it if you had the time?
If I had the time, I think I'd watch it. But I find it interesting.
I love Naomi Scott.
My fiance, I give her the choice for most movies, and we looked at Charlie's Angels, Ford versus Ferrari, Doctor Sleep because she missed it because I went to a press screening, and The Irishman, and she picked Ford versus Ferrari. That was just – and I'm like – out of all those movies, I'm looking at – I'm like really interested as somebody that doesn't eat, breathe, and sleep movies like I do, and she's like Ford versus Ferrari. I thought that was fascinating.
What about you, John?
What's that?
Do you want to see it at all? Do you have any interest?
The reviews make me want to see it. I'm not the biggest Elizabeth Banks fan, so I
– as a director or as a performer?
As a person. As a person.
Oh,
so I've had some friends who've worked with her and have some very not so kind things to say about her. So
it
makes me not want to patronize her stuff. So for me, it's not. But the reviews have been so positive, and I like Kristen Stewart a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've really grown in my respect for her as an actress over the last few years. So I will give it a shot, and I may do it on an afternoon, you know, like an AMC Stubbs or something. But because it's a good movie, because I do want to see more female-led action films, female-led, I want to support it. Like I support a Latino film because I want more of those coming out.
You just said because it made a great point. Because there was a movie that would never have been on my kind of radar, but we wanted to see it and I enjoyed the hell of it because I want to see it. It was The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, female leads kind of spy. I went back.
That was a Melissa McCarthy one.
No, that was
Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. Yeah, I actually interviewed them for that movie for a Talks at Google, and it was fun
because she didn't want to see it. We're like, let's go see it. But Teresa's like, man, the action was phenomenal. It's like so many great set pieces. I'm like, that was a great fun time at the movie theater.
It was a fun movie.
Two female lead films created a new thing without an existing IP that was spy world with action and these girls kicking ass.
I think it was directed by a female as well. I don't remember.
I couldn't say who, but it's like
John Cena.
No. Cutting on there. Good cue.
Wow, I love it.
I know. Sorry, no, Roxy, you're like.
I really know what
You're in the vibe of the show. I think, for sure. Elizabeth Banks' whole thing is like men don't want to see these films. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a movie coming out.
No, that's a cop-out.
Yeah, that was called Rhythm Section with Blake Lively.
That looks
good. Is it Reed Moreno?
Yeah, Reed Moreno.
And it's a book based on a book. But it's like, yes, take something that no one knows about. It isn't established with the book, but it's like, yes, give us that. Looks phenomenal. Action, female.
Or like this was directed by Paul Feig, but Simple Favor. I love that movie.
Yeah. Right?
Blake Lively.
Even Spy is an action film.
Yeah.
It's funny as hell. Melissa McCarthy.
I just think,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I just think this didn't check any boxes for anyone.
Yeah. I also think she's seeing these comments, and it's smart business. She's trying to take the blame off herself to save her brand as a director because of the Pitch Perfect 2 success. So it's smart. It's Hollywood smart.
Speaking of smart, we're going to cut to commercial, and then we're going to come back and see how smart we all are because we're playing some crazy movie game that I begged these two to have me not play.
And
but
I put it in the thing anyways.
I set the rules and I said if you sit in the room, you play the game. So
I'm excited.
I guess we'll be back like and we're playing a game.
See so you guys play a game.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Vachetti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Coy Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus,
and
every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness. The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live, best show on the damn YouTube. Woo! I am like panic attacking inside right now.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Because whatever the hell you guys are making me do. No, it's you have nothing to be nervous about, movie trivia champion. I have everything to be nervous about, panic attack person. No, we're not quizzing each other. What's the game? What's the fucking game?
But it's, you know, I mean, better. It's not as hard as the Schmodown. Yeah. It's a very simple game. It's just a movie actor game, basically, where we all go around the room. And I will start with Titanic. And then Mark has to think of an actor that's in Titanic. So he says Kate Winslet. Then John has to think of a movie that is on.
I cannot name a Kate Winslet movie that is not Titanic right now. No,
okay.
I literally
can't. So you'll be out before the
I literally can't right
so
now.
So you have an option if you don't know. Then you go. You say reverse, and then it goes back to Mike.
I don't know.
Just think just about play it the a damn game. Shut just up and play the game, Rox.
Okay. Well, she's not the answer.
How many seconds do we have to answer?
This is how when somebody says something, I cannot get to the next thing. But that's fine. We'll try it.
And then
maybe
so
like all the seconds.
Cody, can you do like a timer, like a ten second timer, or something like that for us too?
I can do that.
Mark can do it because Cody, you're not doing anything, right? You're not like keeping the show
okay,
alive.
Wait,
and you can do something else.
I want a mulligan. So like, if I can't think of any, you guys have to name four, and I'll pick the one that they're in.
let's try it out first. So we all get one.
I can't think of a Kate Winslet movie.
We all get one reverse, and that's it.
What's an example?
Good. Okay, Revolutionary Road.
I saw that.
Right, Hamlet.
There you go.
Okay.
Hamlet. Nice reference.
I never would have come up with either of those.
It is high for the guy.
The Holiday. It's more than one. The Holiday.
I saw that. I can't. Yeah, I know. All right, fine. Let's play.
Okay. So how about
Cody's playing?
Roxy, why don't you start?
All right.
So start with a movie or an actor.
Oh my god.
10 seconds.
Oh lord. You want to start with Cats?
Idris Elba. Idris Elba.
Wait.
Idris Elba.
FYI, only movies that have already been released.
Oh.
Oh.
But that's fine.
You
that's
threw a curveball already.
Yeah, yeah. Idris Elba.
Okay. I guess, Cody, your turn.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, I didn't see that. But what's his name? Jason Statham.
Crank.
Never even heard of that.
Amy Smart.
Ooh.
Oh, God, you're going to kill me here. Amy Smart.
Remember, you can reverse if you can't think of
I can do this one.
No, she's not in.
I can do this one.
Yeah, she's not in Road Trip?
Road Trip, yeah.
Is it? Yeah, she is.
Oh, what's the brunette dude's name?
Remember, you can reverse.
Oh, my God. Reverse. What's the guy, that guy's name?
What the hell is it? DJ Smalls? The skinny kid with the beak
nose. You're so close.
DJ.
Waldrich.
There's one letter that you.
Small.
Yeah? What do you do when you're bending down?
DJ Ben Smalls?
No, what do you do when you're bending down and
crack.
You have weight on you?
But.
What do they call that?
America's Eye.
Bench press.
What do they call it when you do this?
DJ Squats? DJ Squat?
DJ Squalls.
Squalls.
Aww.
It's crazy. That's what I lost.
How come you gave Mike hints?
This is tougher than
because
it seems.
Because he has the,
We went through some deep cuts there.
Guys are making this game. You fucked up with Amy Smart.
Who else is
so
in that
hard.
Movie? Who else is in
Crank? Rat Race.
Yeah.
Girl, right?
Yeah, Crank was the one. It just jumped out at me.
Okay, so see that. Again. That's how it is.
I fucking hate this game.
This is what I love.
Cody,
Kolowski, Roka, Shrek, and Trivia.
Cody, you start.
Yeah, you start, Cody.
You guys really
actor or movie, Cody?
The Lion King.
Ooh, nice.
Which one?
Which one?
Either one. Either one.
The first one.
Okay, I'm going to go with Nathan Lane.
The Birdcage.
Nice.
Robin Williams, just to make.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Nice.
Robin Williams.
No, but you did that. Same person.
Oh, I don't know.
Back to me? Yeah. Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah. Like oh, yeah. That's the dude in there. The other
Pierce
dude.
Brosnan. Come on.
For sure. Brosnan. That's the guy.
Oh, oh, like the spin.
He's great in that movie. Pierce
spin on that Brosnan. Wheel, numbnuts.
Pierce Brosnan.
Come on, John.
Oh, I have one for Pierce Brosnan.
You're not in it.
Do you?
It's not your turn.
Pierce Brosnan. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies. So that, how about that? Halle Berry?
I don't know. Maybe.
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher.
No. Michelle. Yeah, she's in it. She plays Ellie Carver's wife.
That's right.
Come on, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Wait.
Come on.
So,
no, come on.
So who are you going with?
Well, I'll go with Terry Hatcher then if you want to keep it going. Yeah, I lost.
I don't know what movie she's in other than shows.
Oh, I was in a movie with her.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, well, that, it's the only movie I've been in.
I was like,
you pay so much attention to me.
What was it?
I was like, Lewis and Clark.
Can I give her one?
No. I'm going to say reverse because I don't know. I'm blanking.
Come on, dude. Oh, Terry Hatcher?
Yeah.
So, please, I know you know it. I know you know it.
Well, not a
Tango and Cash.
Yes!
Hey!
Nice.
You see that high five, too? You see that high five?
Bros.
Tango and Cash. Man.
What do you got?
Okay, but say vagina and then high five.
All right, cool.
Vagina!
Yeah.
You hesitated.
Kurt Russell.
Nice.
Big Trouble Little China.
Yeah.
Boom.
No idea.
Wait. You got to pick. It's smart to keep the game going.
I've seen every movie except for Crank that we've mentioned, but I don't know.
Change the movie.
Give it to me again. Give it
Kurt
to me.
Russell.
Kurt Russell. We're going to go with.
I'm not
going
to know.
Hateful Eight.
There you go.
I don't know. Tarantino.
Oh.
Who's in
I don't know.
Who's in a Tarantino film? All of them.
Guess.
All of them. Who's in every one of them?
Tarantino?
I don't remember asking you.
Denzel Washington?
Oof, wow. Oh, rhymes with ham Fatskin.
Jamuel K. Saxon.
Samuel L. Jackson.
There you go.
Hey!
I've never seen Hateful Eight.
Oh, but he said everyone else knows
it.
I don't remember asking you a damn thing.
No, just the way you did it, I thought you were doing.
Good job, Rox.
You
got
set me up for failure there really hard. Just
I hate
clear.
Late.
You set me up to look
Cody. Cody, give us a Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Jurassic Park.
There we go.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to go with... which one?
Oh, he is in Pulp Fiction.
Good job.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
I'm going to go with Sam Neill.
Good one.
Ooh. Sam Neill.
I don't know who that is.
The lead in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the three.
Dr. Yeah, Grant or whatever.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Sam really Neill. This is good.
I know. That you got two good ones. Come on, buddy. Hunt for the Wilder People. Well, I'm just going to...
Never heard of that movie.
Nobody knows that
one.
You can think of someone else.
Never heard of that movie.
If you remember, you can get reverse if you don't know
is
the other
you,
actors.
Hunt for the Wilder People?
No, because nobody knows it.
Either. Yeah. I was going to give you a bad one there, too.
Mm. What was the bad one?
What about Jurassic Park?
I can get Jurassic Park 3.
There you go. Okay, tell me.
There's other ones.
Bad Boys.
Oh, true.
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. Bad Boys. So
give
me an act.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Hey.
Will Smith.
Okay.
Right.
Cody,
Cody,
Will Smith
What's
movie. What's
the other dude's name?
Independence Day.
Boom.
Ooh. Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. While you were sleeping.
Sandra Bullock.
Demolition Man. Wesley Snipes.
Oh, I love him.
Great.
I love Sandy B too.
You're in the entertainment industry. I know. What you do.
Just trying to get there.
Cody. Trivia, the whole thing dies. I've never heard of a movie.
Wesley Snipes, Cody.
Blade.
Nice.
Mm. Blade.
God, what's his name? Deacon Ooh. Frost. Steven Dorff.
There you go.
How does somebody win this game? I'm so done playing. You guys just made me keep playing.
That's a knock in the nuts to
you.
That's
a hard one.
I hate this game so much. It's not fun.
I can't do TV, huh?
But you can reverse.
Who is the person you picked?
Then I'm fucked. Steven Dorff. From Blade. Deacon Frost. The villain.
Why can't I pull?
I can't pull any of his movies.
I'm going to reverse.
Damn it. Okay, now I have to think about what other movies he's in, and I don't know. Mm. Shit. That means I'm out. Because you reversed me, so I'm out.
But now it goes to Cody.
No, there's
no
so outs.
Now, so now Cody starts.
I hate this fucking game.
Woo! But Steven you got Dorf, one. Cody.
No, I didn't.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reverse. I haven't used mine yet.
LOL.
No, but so you can't reverse a reverse.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
This isn't Uno.
I won. All right.
Roxy won.
Roxy won.
Wait, okay, we'll start again.
Why don't we clear
the
slate? Let's.
We'll start again.
Yeah.
Okay, Roxy.
What else is Steven Dorf in?
SLC Punk.
What's that?
Oh, was he in Judgment Night?
He was in Judgment Night.
All right, Judgment Night.
Mm-mm. Okay, so since you started, then Cody started. So, Mark, you start.
Just, okay. Let's.
No.
You're doing great, Roxy.
Let's do Fight Club.
Ooh, good choice. Edward Norton.
The Avengers. Oh, sweet Christ almighty.
Wait, what
just happened?
Ed Norton?
Oh, I'm thinking.
I paused and I was like, wait, was he where?
In it? I was like, that wasn't his Hulk.
Yeah. Incredible Hulk. Incredible. There we go.
He said, oh, Christ almighty. I don't remember, but I can say, like, Ruffalo took over the mantle, so
no,
does that count?
No.
Oh.
No.
Do you remember the girl that was in it?
No, and it wasn't Natalie Portman, and it wasn't Keira Knightley.
There's a girl in it that shares a movie, Incredible Hulk, with Lord of the Rings.
Her dad's famous singer.
Evangeline Lilly?
No, but close.
Close.
Oh, she knows it.
Kobe Smulder?
Dad's a famous singer.
Oh, Lord of the Rings. Oh, Liv Tyler!
Yay!
She's great in The Leftovers.
Okay.
Okay, Cody.
Lord of the Rings.
Wow, Liv Tyler forgot about that.
Wait, am I still playing?
Yeah, you're still playing.
Okay, let's go
with... You're in the room, you play the game.
Viggo Mortensen.
Okay. Viggo Mortensen, History of Violence.
Man.
William Hurt.
Boom.
Ooh.
Oh.
No.
I'm trying to give a decent one, William Hurt.
Marvel. You could get a bunch of
Marvel, but
could.
I'm like, okay, we've got to keep it going. So Captain America Civil War.
Boom.
Who's William Hurt?
General Ross.
Oh.
Civil War.
Oscar-winning actor.
Mm. Civil War.
Chris Evans.
There it is.
Oh.
Cody? Chris Evans. Robert Downey Jr.
No, you have the same
movie
Chris
Evans
is in.
Yo, there was a movie he was great in, like, about a kid. You guys know what I'm
Gifted.
Talking about? Yeah, that's it. It was great. It was great.
Why did you
excellent.
Pick that? I have no idea what that is.
Can you name two other actors from Gifted?
I know one.
There was another really good one in it.
Cody Reverse.
Touche.
Exactly. That's what you get.
Touche. Shit.
What's the name of that dude that's got red hair that was in Ben Is Back?
Oh, yeah. Lucas Hedges.
Lucas Hedges.
Mm, yeah. I was just wondering.
The key to this game is that when you...
Oh,
whoever,
I got that. Cool. Jenny Slate was in that movie.
Yeah. Ooh, she was. She was great, too. I like her a lot.
Right, but is she in two other movies?
I don't think she's in
she
Ben.
Is,
oh, to me?
But they're not
to me?
Big.
Oh, I saw her in a movie this year. It was great.
Oh.
What was it called, though?
I know.
Who else is in it? No, don't
I
give
don't
it
know.
Away.
She was great. She was a teacher.
I love that Roxy's getting better at this game.
See?
Some reps.
Jenny Slate was a teacher. And she was dating some guy.
Oh, who
get
is
there.
And it was not Parks and
get
Rec.
There.
It was really good. Like R for Real or like something like that. You guys know what it is?
Yes, but I don't remember the title.
Cody, what is it?
See, here's the key. Let me say, this is the key to the game. Whatever movie or actor you pick or actress you pick, you have to have on tap
exactly.
two other movies
exactly.
or two other
right.
Actors
Yo,
in the movie
I'm
that you know have
you,
other movies.
Like, Cody should have gone with Knives Out instead
you know what I'm
of.
Talking about?
Right. I know, she's, I know what the movie she's in.
What is it?
Venom.
Oh.
She is in Venom.
Yeah.
Venom.
Symbiote. That was her
symbiote.
In the trailer.
Yeah.
Symbiote.
Is Obvious Child the one you're thinking about?
Yeah, the movie
but
was
what
dope.
Was she in animated voice of recently?
I don't know. Like
she
Trolls
was
or
shell.
Something?
Wait. I thought she was in Spider-Verse, but I could be wrong.
She's done that shell thing.
Marcel the Shell.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Fuck.
So see, Roxy, you got good at it, sort of.
You got better.
It was done?
I mean,
you
already
want it
said
to be
Venom,
done?
So.
Do you want this to be
I
over?
Know, Do you not like the game?
I literally have never hated anything more in my entire life. I hate these fucking games. You guys made me guess that he did a voice. You made me guess fucking Denzel Washington. That's what you guys did today.
Just expand.
I mean, technically, you opened your mouth and did it.
Just so for the
what do you hate more, this game or not getting laid for the past year?
Boom!
This game.
Oh, wow.
What about Mike as against giving you shit?
Having sex.
Well, the game wasn't her choice, not having sex. Really.
I noticed like, when you something's not your choice, you're like,
this is me. Yeah. Well, I told them I hate these things, but I'll play. If you sit in the room, you play the game.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
But right. It wasn't that
I think
bad.
We're done with the game now. Cody.
I think that are game we? Was great.
I liked it.
Great.
Oh. Cody, did you like
than
it?
Seems. Tougher than
I had
seems.
A great time.
See? Cody had a good time.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody bitches at me because like I watch as many movies as you guys in this room do.
True.
More than I people, just, more than me.
I don't. That
doesn't
not,
land.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You just don't retain names of like actors, directors and stuff? Or
not even. First of all, trivia, if you ask me like something I know very much about, I still couldn't do it because trivia, something about it, my brain shuts down. But specifically with movies, Ben used to always make fun of me because we'd go see a movie and then like the next day he'd be like, Angelina Jolie was so great in that. I'd be like, she was
I
in the movie.
Watching Mike's face.
Even like Maleficent?
Bites. Yeah, yeah. Like I can't remember. TV shows stick with me so much. Movies don't. I can't think of who was in it anymore.
You didn't know in The Pan is Your Father laid out for you, and that's a TV show.
That's true, but I don't remember that episode of Seinfeld.
What are you a savant about? Are you savant about anything?
No, no.
Not even strains of weed?
No.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, because
you're just going to say that.
I know more about television than anybody in this room for sure.
You did some great polls with Friends episodes.
Yeah.
Do you think you know more about TV than I do?
I know more of the history of television.
Fight!
I would go decade for decade.
Fight.
For what you know in 2010, 2000s.
I watch more television
currently,
than anybody.
Correct. Yeah, fair. Correct. Yeah.
And have been. I've watched at least 5 hours of TV a day for the last 20 years.
That's fair.
So I watch a ton.
You are Mike TV.
I'm Mike TV. I love him. That is a reference from the Candy movie. Oh my God! Willy Wonka.
Oh,
it's like candy crazy.
Movie. You are giving me ammunition.
Oh, I can't.
For months.
I can't. Oh, why? Short answers?
No. DC
just like,
stuff.
Oh,
I sit there every day with you now.
I can't think of like. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I have no recall.
That's the candy.
I have no
movie.
Recall.
Understood.
The Candy Man.
I have
movie.
A ton of the candy mental man plaque. Can.
Do you think it's because you do so much? You're everywhere. You're constantly on the go.
I don't sleep. I literally haven't gotten more than 4 hours of sleep in the last.
Well, as a friend, I'm concerned.
Several
Fox.
Years.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about this. Either.
I know.
The mental plaque.
The mental plaque is real. Like I can't. I cannot recall. I cannot recall.
Are you it's like your body releasing stuff. Like your body can't release farts, like and it can't release. Facts.
Yeah, I've seen.
Wait,
I've
what?
Seen.
Yeah, yeah. Woman can't fart.
What? 80,
okay, all right.
I've seen like seven true. Tarantino movies, and mm-hmm. I had no idea that Samuel L. Jackson is in a lot of Tarantino movies. Like I.
But you thought of Pulp Fiction a few seconds
when,
later.
When he said it, I did think like. Oh,
I don't
Tarantino
remember asking
movie,
you a goddamn thing.
What is that?
It's a famous line
from what?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh. I've seen that movie like literally 15 times.
Okay, but you can
I can't
think
tell
of
you who's in it. John Travolta, I know, is in that movie, right?
I love that this yes, turned into a therapy
but if I say, okay,
here.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you can name an actor.
Oh,
that,
shit.
That was Brad Pitt.
There you go.
There you
boom!
Go.
Yeah.
He smokes red apple cigarettes.
So maybe it's a more recent thing as opposed to older
no,
movies.
Wait, I'm honestly trying to think. The other guy in that
yikes.
was even better.
Shame.
Can you not?
It was Leo.
There you go.
Leo.
You
yeah,
got
yeah.
it.
Okay. I honestly struggle with that. The girl that was in that is in Leftovers is excellent. I don't know her name, though. I think I can think of her face.
Right.
She's got brown hair. She was on the bus stop.
Carrie Coon.
No,
Bruce
no,
Dern
no, no.
was in it,
what?
Too.
Carrie Coon's in the Leftovers.
The daughter.
Oh, the daughter.
Justin Theroux? He's in that.
Theroux's in the Leftovers.
Not what we're talking about. Let's get the fuck out of
rocks.
Here, guys.
I'm concerned.
I know.
With you,
all my friends always say that they're concerned for me, too. But what am I supposed to do? I'm working.
You just keep being down. You because we love you.
Dorina, where can everybody keep up with you?
At EvilDorina on Twitter and Instagram.
Mark Riley.
At Riley Around on Twitter.
John Rocha.
At The Rocha Says Everywhere.
Mike Kalinowski, thank you for joining us
thank
for the first time
me,
on
guys.
The show.
I
guess we will have
it.
You back.
I love it. Anytime. Right, yes. Anytime you pleasure. At Mike
America's
Kalinowski.
Ass is always
Cody,
welcome back.
At The Real Cody Hall.
The Real Cody Hall.
Mm.
The Real Cody Hall.
And I will say, just to close out this show, what a weird way to close it, but I do like to say things like this because I know there are a ton of you guys out there like me. Today would have been my mom's 60th birthday, so happy birthday to my mom, Lori. To all the people out there who struggle with the same thing that I do. Today, I think, is a day for celebration, so I'm really glad we had a very fun show today.
Mazel tov.
To Roxy's mom. May she be watching us.
Health to the fucking yeah. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live.
Napa know-how.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers. While supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Shop Black Friday Week Deals Sunday through Friday at Kohl's. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And take an extra 15% off. Get the big one throws, $8.49. Toastmaster small appliances are just $2.14 after rebate. And Fitbit Versa 2 is $129.99. Plus, take 30% off Lego, 70% off fine jewelry, and save on boots for her, $16.99. Plus, get fast and free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Week Deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles. Offers valid November 22nd through the 27th. 15% off with promo code ENJOY15. Lego and Fitbit offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.